Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay. So I'm going to start, and I already started. Hey, guess what? This is the best show, and I'm here in the luxurious Earwolf Studios. Last time I was in Forever Dog, and they're hungry, and then, but I figured this time I was going to ride it out in luxury. I wanted free coffee, cold brew on tap. I'm coming. Look. Forever Dog, I'm infiltrating this place. I'm putting stickers all over it, say Forever Dog. I'm promoting shows here. We're going to take this place from the inside. No. Maybe. I don't know. Boy, we have an exciting show. And it's pre-taped, so don't call. I won't even get the phone number out. There's no way to call. If you're hearing this, I did this already. So we're going to have our friend Jonah Ray is back on the show, and it's exciting, and we'll bring him in a little bit, and then I'm going to... Wait, I usually have bed music here, right, don't I? Devin, you've heard the show before.
I've heard the show before, yes.
Yeah. Not nuts about how loud you are on it, but I guess that's to be part of it. I guess, what do I usually play? Something like this? Yes, it's the best show. Hi, everybody.
Nice.
Thank you. Yeah, I know it's nice. Thank you. We're here from Los Angeles, and we have a special show. Our friend Jonah Ray is going to be with us, and we will start the program in a matter of seconds. So I tell you, sit back and relax and get ready for another exciting episode of The Best Show here in, I don't know, just here. Wherever I am is where the show is. That's how it works these days. You know the score. That's how it works. You know, then we're here with Devin. He's a cool guy. We'll see what his deal is. Find out more about him. But let's listen to some stuff that sounds a little bit like this.
WWE's favorite band in the whole world, Limp Bizkit!
There were many highlights of that night, but I'll never forget rapping with Ice-T. I actually surprised myself I wasn't bad.
We've got a really great show for you tonight. Toots and the Midtals are here.
Thank God for dark brown trousers.
The final blow came when we were shooting in the Len Film Studio itself. I wanted to go for a pee, and they directed me to the toilet. I could smell it 50 yards away, and when I got there, I found the filthiest toilet I have ever seen in my life. I went outside and peed up against the soundstage wall, which I noticed several other men had done before me. So this is where my career had ended, I thought to myself. In the toilet. I'm done.
Come on, baby, home, baby, come on, home, attaboy, let's go, baby, come on, play from within yourself, babe. Now, good as you want to be now, babe, home, baby, him, let's go, baby. Home, hum it in there, babe, come on, focus, babe, center yourself, babe, come on, babe. Home there, babe, home, babe, feel good, boy, let's go, baby, come on, baby, home, babe, come on, home, attaboy, let's go, baby, come on, come on, baby, come on, play from within yourself, attaboy, let's go, baby, come on, baby, home, baby, home, babe, come on, home, attaboy, let's go, baby, come on, focus, babe, center yourself, babe, come on, babe, come on, home, baby, come on, home, attaboy, let's go, baby, come on. Come on, baby, baby, come on, baby, come on, baby, come on, baby, let's go, baby, come on, play from within yourself, babe, now good as you want to be, now, babe, hum, baby, hum, let's go, baby, hum, hum it in there, babe, come on, focus, babe, center yourself, babe, come on, babe, hum there, babe, hum, babe, feel good, oh, babe, yes, babe. baby, hum, baby, come on, hum, attaboy, let's go, baby, come on, play from within yourself.
One thing for Peyton. Peyton, the first guy you kiss can't be Papa John, okay? And listen, this is a big moment. First of all, I have no idea why Papa John's on the field. Shame on the NFL for having him on the field. But if you're Peyton Manning, you have enough money, the first guy you kiss can't be Papa John, okay? It can't be! And if I see that as a commercial, I'll throw up.
Screw you! You're fired! You're fired!
Whoa!
You're fired! You're fired! You're fired!
All right!
You're fired! You're fired! Donald Trump,
eyes on the prize.
That is hilarious.
Eyes on.
It's the laugh, man.
What about it?
It's just the worst.
No, it's not. You love it.
I don't.
I'm like Ricky Gervais. I'm just going to let it out. I love his laugh. Do you hate his laugh, too?
The laugh, man.
What about it?
It's just the worst.
No, it's not. You love it.
I don't.
Why do you think the Eagles are still so popular? Take it easy, witchy woman, peaceful, easy feeling, desperado, tequila sunrise, already gone, best of my love, one of these nights, lion eyes, take it to the limit, Hotel California, life in the fast lane, new kid in town, I can't tell you why, the long run, heartache tonight.
This is a serious message to everybody watching my update right now. Peace and love, peace and love. I want to tell you, please, after the 20th of October, do not send fan mail to any address that you have. Nothing will be signed after the 20th of October. If that has a date on the envelope, it's going to be tossed. I'm warning you with peace and love, but I have too much to do. So no more fan mail. Thank you, thank you. And no objects to be signed. Nothing. Anyway, peace and love, peace and love.
Hello? Who's this?
We want as many people as possible to be a part of this wonderful comeback by this amazing band. So for a $1 pledge, you'll receive a 4-part download of the audio interviews with the Rascals conducted by myself and Dave Marsh. For $25, you will receive a digital high-def video download of the entire show. and that will be yours exclusively. It will be a long time before it ever gets released, if it ever gets released. And you will receive the audio interviews as well. For a $50 pledge, you...
Well, I guess it's official. We're now on Facebook. I really wasn't sure about this at the start. But then a friend of mine said something that just made all kinds of sense. She said, think of it more as a conversation. I like that. But I'm already finding out on my own. So it's wiping the walls out between you and me. And I really like that. It allows us into each other's worlds, or I guess in my case, a hotel room. When I think about things I want to post cool stuff, slick stuff, neat stuff. But most of the stuff I'm going to post is going to be raw stuff like this. This is just who I am. So if this is truly a conversation, then I say let the conversation begin.
Chronic diarrhea, and for me, a mild but frightening typhoid attack from breathing in filthy dust and dried camel dung, were unpleasant enough. But neither Sean nor I were ever in any real physical danger. Back then, Beverly Hills, which now features some of the world's most expensive and luxurious boutiques, was quite a sleepy place with just a few shops, including, bizarrely, a hardware store on Beverly Drive. I once nipped in there for a ball of string, and there was Fred Astaire looking for sandpaper. And when I was lining up by the till, I found myself beside Danny Kaye, who was buying a single light bulb. It was in that store that I had what still ranks as my most terrifying experience in America. I was browsing through the power tool display, and I popped my head round a corner, and there in the next aisle was Klaus Kinski buying an axe. Never has a shop full of DIY aficionados cleared so quickly. Success or failure, we all need our own personal survival kit to see us through. For me, it's feeding the ducks with my three grandchildren, making chill-out music compilations. I own hundreds of chill-out CDs, and I've even made one of my own. Caned, the London restaurant scene, gardening, cooking. Irwin was the producer of Towering Inferno and Poseidon Adventure, so I reasoned that he knew a thing or two about disaster movies. And I was intrigued on the idea of working on a film with spectacular special effects. What I hadn't quite taken on board was that a burning skyscraper and a huge upside-down ship are high-stakes visual drama, whereas a swarm of bees is, well, just let's say it's not in the same league.
What they didn't know was that the diarrhea that I thought we had well under control, Richard Gere on the other hand, which was much more intense actor, some of the intensity
was browsing through the power to swarm a chronic diarrhea on a mild,
there were many highlights. I wasn't surprised when I wrote about the cafe of which he had
this was just as well, because the man who would be king was a hard period.
However careful you were, it was impossible to escape the entire time. The final blow came when we were shooting in the set me.
Not that they are well.
I had devised a perfect revenge film.
I remember rushing over to them. Down the space not the unbelievable stench of the attendant who was reading the paper.
I figured
I went outside and see I'd forgotten the disinfectant. Which I called him out and nearly finished me off.
He just shrugged.
So this is come back at lunchtime, he suggested. The flies will have moved on to the kitchen then.
You couldn't see the lodging from there.
Chronic diarrhea, and for me, a mild but frightening typhoid attack from breathing in filthy dust and dried camel dung, were unpleasant enough. But neither Sean nor I were ever in any real physical danger.
Thank you.
out. Don't turn them. Turn my mic on. Ooh, hold on. Wait. Turn that down. Is this your first time doing this?
No, it's not.
I'm here in Earwolf Studios. How's this sound,
Devin? Sounds great.
Does it sound good?
Yeah.
I'm here in the Earwolf Studios doing the best show from Los Angeles, Lipstick City, as Jim Rome calls it. So no calls tonight, but in lieu of that, I have Engineer Devin is here, the guy from Devin.
Devin.
And you happen to be an engineer.
Yes.
Your first name's not Engineer. I hate people. Why do they do that?
I don't know. It's a Scott Aukerman thing, I believe.
Well, it ends tonight. I don't see Scott Aukerman anywhere around here.
I don't see him. No.
Scott Aukerman's not walking through that door. It's a sports. Our guest, Hayes Davenport, who'll be here later, will understand that joke. Our current guest will not, because he doesn't like sports. And do you like sports, Devin?
Not really a sports guy.
What are you? What did you do sports in school?
I got away with playing on the golf team. And
the golf team? Where did you go to school?
It was an option.
Where, though?
and I also managed the girls' basketball team.
All right.
Yeah.
What do you mean, like the towels and stuff?
That sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You weren't driving the bus.
I wasn't driving the bus.
Okay. Where did you go to? Where on earth was there a golf team?
I don't know. It's the school I went to in.
Well, what? Colorado. Where? In the, called, I said where?
It's called Alexander Dawson High School.
Okay. Well, where? I don't know where that is.
It's in Boulder, Colorado.
Okay. That's all I was asking.
Okay. All right.
You just had to say Colorado.
Colorado.
You're giving me the. You're breaking it down so in the smallest possible way. You're telling me the street it's on. And then you finally, at the end, you say, oh, it's in Colorado.
Colorado.
Okay. So they teach golf out in Colorado, huh?
Yeah.
That's how they do it? Have you been back to Colorado recently?
For Christmas.
For Christmas?
Sure.
Your whole family's there?
Yeah.
And is it different now?
Yeah, Boulder is not the same.
No?
No. When I grew up, it was all rich hippie weirdos and cool comic book shops and things like that. And now it's all just a strip mall.
It's a strip mall with nothing but weed shops.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
And microbreweries.
And microbreweries.
Yes.
And now they sell, like, aren't like mushrooms are literally legal in Colorado? Is that true?
Don't know. That's, yeah, I'm out of that. I'm out of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're different than, what's his face? What's the kid's name? Kevin?
Yeah, Kevin.
That kid's so rich.
So
rich. Found out how rich he was. Well, you might be rich, too.
No.
Colorado. That's moneyed people, right?
Sure.
There's moneyed people. You know who was from, who's the most famous person from Boulder?
Gosh, the string cheese incident are from right there.
Okay. It's got to be somebody more famous.
Good grief. I don't know. Oh, is it Garner? Jennifer Garner, maybe.
Jennifer Garner. That's a good one,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Do you know who else is from Boulder? Was, Mork. From Mork. Well, he was from Ork.
He lived there, though, for a time.
He moved from Ork to Boulder.
Yes.
It's an upgrade. Things are not good on Ork. That guy. Remember that show? Did you watch Mork and Mindy?
That's sure did.
Before your time.
Yeah.
I feel like. Do you remember the first time Mork showed up on a show?
Well, it was Happy Days, but I don't.
And he did a battle with Fonzie. Mm. And they had like, they were fighting over who had the, who like, cause like he froze Fonzie. Remember? Like he froze him. And then suddenly his thumb started to move and Fonzie broke the space spell or whatever he had put on him. And it turned out to be a dream anyway. But then, what's his face? Gary Marshall was just like, we got to do a show with Mork. Let's do a whole show with Mork. So then they moved it up 20 years. So that's a weird thing because Mork showed up in the 50s.
That's a good point.
In a dream.
Mm.
So he's got some sort of, is he like Freddy Krueger? He can like move through dreams. He showed up in a dream in the 50s. Then in flesh, his egg landed in Boulder. Then he had a baby with Mindy.
Yeah.
And the baby was Jonathan Winters.
Right.
because you get it's a Benjamin Button's kind of thing with people from Ork. I don't know if it's everybody from Ork. Man, can you imagine how annoying it would have been on that set? Robin Williams and Jonathan Winters. Yikes. Just the imagine trying to direct that show and just like the two of them just doing their characters. And you're just like, it's very funny, Robin. It's very funny. Let's, we do have to shoot this though. Like him just catering to the studio audience. Like, oh, 1, 2, 3, 4. Like, Captain, I cannot make a captain. Like every dumb character. That Southern character. I don't even wanna. One time I worked on a show, and I'm not going to name names, and was in the writer's room. And
hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Then Julie Klausner looked at her phone, and she was in the writer's room, too, working on this. It was not difficult, people. And then she goes, oh, my God, Robin Williams died. And then this one guy in the writer's room, this older fella goes, what? No, no. And it, like, left the room. And then like a half hour later, I saw him. I was like, hey, man, I just want to say I'm sorry about your friend. You know, it seems like your friend died. It's terrible. And he's like, oh, I didn't know him. I met him one time at the thing in San Francisco. It's like, what was that huge show of? It was like Darth Vader at the end of the one movie. Remember when he was like, no. Well, that was a bad movie. That might be the worst of all the Star Wars movies.
Yeah, it's up there.
You could make a case. That's one called Revenge of the Sith. Yes. That might be the worst of every Star Wars movie. That's worse than Phantom Menace, I think. At least Phantom Menace has Qui-Gon Jinn in it.
It's true.
And the voice of Peter Serafinowicz as Darth Maul. Boy, they really utilize that character well. He showed up for like 4 minutes. I remember seeing, where did you see Phantom Menace?
Phantom Menace was when I was still living in Boulder at the
Midnight Show.
Man Theater 5. I think it was the second day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you remember that moment? I saw it at a Midnight Show that Thursday night.
Yeah.
And there was just a point where it's like, this is a bad movie. This movie did not get good yet. And it's like a good amount of movie has happened already and it is not good. Yeah. Like just that initial feeling of just like, oh no, I think this is a bad movie. What are we going to do? And it's like, maybe it'll get better at the end. And was there another Death Star in that one? Wasn't there? Weren't they building one?
I don't think so.
Well, there wasn't one because that's pre-Death Star.
Pre-Death Star, yeah.
So maybe there's a drawing of he drew a little Death Star as a kid. The only weapon they could come up with is a Death Star. There's been like 7 Death Stars in all these movies.
Yep.
This one's bigger than ever. But it's still a round thing that everybody lives on. I'm going to bring my guest in. My first guest is, you know this guy. He's one of those guys, he's a hyphenate in this business. He writes, he acts, he does music, he's a musician, he's a, what else does he do? Paints, does he paint? Do you know? No, he doesn't paint. Does he draw? No. Let's see, actor, writer, director, I know he's directed things, musician. I know what everybody's thinking right now. I think it's Dave Grohl. It's not. It's Jonah Ray. How are you, buddy?
Well, I wish I was Dave Grohl.
Right?
Like that Waves song. Mm-hmm. I want to be Dave Grohl.
That's right. I forgot about Waves.
Well, Wavavas.
Mm-hmm.
Wavavas.
Yes.
Their favorite movie is Vavitch.
What?
The Vavitch.
The Vavitch.
What's that now? What am I not getting?
It's the witch, but they stylize it with,
with two V's.
Two V's.
Like they're like Romans.
Uh-huh. That's right. Did you see Midsommar?
I did see Midsommar.
Were you scared?
I don't know if I was scared at any point, but I did enjoy it.
Do you feel nauseous at any point?
Yeah, I did. There was, you know what struck me that was kind of making me feel weird was all the ADR all over the place. I was kind of, not to say like, I was saying like bad ADR, but like off screen jokes being put in and then, you know, being put into like one little speaker somewhere behind me.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, there was times I thought people were talking in the theater and I realized it was just.
You just couldn't shut it off, could you? You couldn't shut off your showbiz hat for one.
No, I was just confused. I thought I might have been missing stuff. It was like watching an Altman movie.
Were you just like, what's with the ADR in this thing?
Yeah.
Did you summon the guy, the Arclight guy?
No, I did. I used to be that guy.
You used to be that guy?
I used to have to go tell people to.
Give us one intro that you know you said when you came out and like.
You know, I'll stay on topic. How about that?
Okay. Is this one you actually did though?
Yes, this is one I used to do. This was in the Dome, by the way.
Now, for people who don't know, this is in Los Angeles. There's this movie theater, the Arclight, and it costs like $33 to get a ticket to a movie there.
Back when I worked there, it was $30. So.
But what you get for that is that a board employee comes out before the movie and tells you the name of the movie you bought a ticket for.
If you're lucky, they're bored. If they're into it, that's what. I went to that theater before I started working there, and then when someone came up to talk about what movie I was about to see, I remember just being very upset. And then when I went to go work there, I was like, I'm not gonna be one of those dudes. And then I found out that when you have that as your shift, that's all you do. So I did it because I was like, I burnt the caramel corn that they make there. I caught it on fire. So I was like, maybe I should just introduce the movies.
So then, picturing a young Jonah Ray, people are sitting in the theater, and here he comes. He walks out to the center of the screen and says what?
Can I set up the...
Please.
Okay, so this was when Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, was out. Mm-hmm. And we had it on... we were doing 24 hours of screenings on probably about 8 or 9 screens. Like most of the screens were of Star Wars. And the people that came to see it were very angry because it wasn't at the Chinese theater for the first time.
Yeah.
Star Wars wasn't premiering down the street at the Chinese theater on Hollywood.
Yeah.
And so we were starting to run out of food. There was a lot of irate fans that were being very disrespectful to the staff. And
what do you mean you're out of hot dogs?
There was one guy that said, I'll take 3 hot dogs. I'm on a date.
Oh my God. So this is the mood.
So it's just chaos ever. I burned my arm, real bad on the popcorn machine. And so I was very upset. And then I had to go introduce a movie. So I went. And went to the Cinerama Dome. It's a full house. People are excited to see, you know, how many O's are in the word no at the end of it.
Yes.
And then I go up and I'm just upset. So I grab the microphone and I go, all right, nerds, this is it. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the Arclight Hollywood. And this is it. This is the last one. What are you going to do after this? What are you going to do after this is done? There's no more Star Wars. How foolish I was. I say, this is how you find out how Captain Picard becomes Darth Vader. And I was like, also, spoiler alert, the little kid this whole time, turns out, he's Darth Vader. And then also the Millennium Falcon's in there. So don't mess up the place more than you already have stunk it up and enjoy this movie. And then when I was walking off, some people were booing me. A manager was there. I didn't see him. And then he ended up coming up to me. I was like, oh no, here we go.
Yeah.
And then he says, you know, I probably would have said the same thing. Screw these nerds.
Yeah. He got it.
He was upset too.
Were they going to ask for their money back? Yeah. You know, the guy before the thing
hurt our feelings.
Yeah.
Great. Here's your money back.
I never, you know, there's a ton of stuff. If you see anyone introducing a movie at that theater that says anything more than, you're here to see this movie. If there's any problems with the sound, find someone, and we'll be off to the side during the trailers. After that, find someone and we'll come and take care of it. You don't have to say anything. So it's like, you're here to see what was there when I was there? You're here to see The Aviator. Are you here to see, Crash?
The running time is,
Don't need to know that. They already bought the ticket.
Yeah.
And it's a starring. We don't care. We're going to find out in a bit. Yeah.
When they show us the thing that we bought the ticket for.
Yeah. There would be times I would do day shifts and there was only like five people in there. I go, everyone good? All right. Roll the movie.
I remember one time going, I saw Phantom Thread, not Phantom Menace, Phantom Thread. It was in 70 millimeter. I went to an 11 p.m. show. Mm. I was the only one in the theater. And someone had to come out and say, like, this is Phantom Thread. Running time's 2 hours and 10 minutes. And if there's any problems with it's projected in 70 millimeter, presented in 70 millimeter, if any problems, let me know. And it was just me. He's like, he could have just come up to my seat and told me that. He didn't have to stand in front of the screen. It's like, what's your name?
Yeah.
Keith.
Keith. It was a fun job though. I guess because I told him I had a job at night, so I couldn't work night shifts for the most part. And so I would find, you know, to be during the week. I mean, there was this like during an off movie season, like when the Amityville Horror remake starring Ryan Reynolds was in the dome, you know, like two people would show up and I just say, all right, start the movie. And then I would just sit in a seat and then fall asleep. I've probably seen I've seen the Amityville Horror remake more times than movies I actually like.
Yeah.
Just because I was just there.
And you would just kind of zonk out in the theater.
He's real buff in it, that Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. He's America's top comedian now, apparently.
Yes. And for a Canadian, that means a lot.
Yes. It means he's like Mike Myers or John Candy. He's in the tradition.
Tradition of, yeah.
And you know how ripped those guys were.
Yeah. You know, I was recently watching The Great Outdoors and it was very in the middle of the movie. I was like, wow, both these guys are not in shape. You know, John Candy is, of course, John Candy. And then Dan Aykroyd, he's no slim chicken.
He's catching up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was just like, these were two of the biggest comedy stars when this movie came out.
Yeah.
And
actual slobs.
Yeah. And it didn't make a difference to me.
No, of course not. Why would it? It's you. When you watch Meet the Parents, and there's a scene when Ben Stiller is in his Speedo, and it's supposed to be this like humiliating scene. It's like this dude is so jacked. What's funny about this? He's in amazing shape, and he's pulling off a Speedo because he's in. He's like you're supposed to be like, oh, this is so embarrassing. Oh. It's like. No, this dude is ripped.
Yeah.
He should be walking around the Speedo all the time.
It's like a comedy star should be embarrassed to wear a short sleeve shirt on screen.
Yeah.
That should be like a moment where you're like, it's short sleeve shirts only. And you're like, uh-oh, he's got fat arms.
Yeah.
What's he going to do?
Anyway, this dude was, I don't get it. All these comedians are in shape now.
Yeah. I remember seeing that. What's the guy from, SNL that, was going out with the pop star?
Pete Davidson.
Pete Davidson. I remember seeing him at Montreal, and I remember the new faces that year and being like, wait, what's the prerequisite for looks to be a new face this year in Montreal?
Mm-hmm.
What happened to my chances?
Yeah. Oh, no, your ship sailed.
Sailed a long time ago.
Yes.
I remember I was like 3 years into comedy, and they like, I tried to become a new face, and they told my manager, well, he's not a new face anymore.
Uh-huh.
I was like, but I've only been here for 3 years.
Yeah. That's – so when you came here, you grew up in – Hawaii.
Yes, on Oahu.
And you came to Los Angeles. What was your path from Oahu?
I graduated high school in 2000 and I just hung around and played in bands and stuff like that when I was in Hawaii for about a year. And then shortly after I turned 19, I moved out to Santa Monica.
Okay.
Because I knew I could get a job at a record store in Venice Beach called Benway Records.
Okay.
But
it was too expensive to live for more than 3 months, which was the lease, it turns out. I had a 3-month lease, could barely afford it for that time, and then moved down to San Pedro, where I had a ton of friends, which is, for those listening, it's kind of near Long Beach. It's a very kind of working class town, so it's very cheap. I shared a house with a guy named Dan Destructo.
Okay.
And
so you moved in with Dan Destructo.
Yeah.
And San Pedro, everybody knows San Pedro is the most pedigreed band of Minutemen.
Yeah.
Flew the flag for San Pedro so hard.
Yeah.
That I remember just being like, one time I came out to Los Angeles, like, I'm going to drive to San Pedro. I got to check this place out. And I just get there. I'm like, what?
There's nothing to see. Yeah, like, there's nothing really there.
It's just a place.
It's just a place. But it's like a place that never really recovered. It's odd. It's the town that has the port of Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the busiest, most rich ports in the world. And Pedro does not see a dime of that because it belongs to the city of Los Angeles.
It's rolling right past him.
Yeah. And so you see this town full of, you know, longshoremen and working class people that don't really benefit from, you know, there's a building that's still up that I remember it was like abandoned when I was living there because of asbestos. And then it's at a spot now where it's like too expensive to tear down, too expensive to renovate.
Yeah.
But, you know, then it's like a lot of great music came from there. You know,
The Hard Hats. Well, I'm not
FYP.
I'm just saying the people there are hard hats.
The hard hats.
Yeah. You know, lunch pal.
Yeah.
Lunch
pal
guys. Yeah. Guys eat, they get the eggs in the bar.
Yeah.
From the.
Yeah. The pickled eggs.
Yeah. They'll be like, I'll eat that.
Godmother's or Rebels or any of these places that claim that, Bukowski drank there.
Mm-hmm.
But he was sober by the time he moved to Pedro. So, but I used to go down to some of those bars and they're rough and tumble. I would see some crazy fights. I saw a dude bump into another guy, two longshoremen, you know, flannel, mustache, longshoremen. And the guy who got bumped told the guy to, you know, like, take off.
Yeah.
Take a hike.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to swear. I don't want to take your lead and swear on the show.
I'm going
to
say that, you know, thank you, that I happened for the first time ever I cursed on the show. And it was – I'm not going to make a habit out of it.
You know, Neil Mahoney told me right away about the swear. Really? He was very excited.
Neil Mahoney, legendary worst caller of the year. What was his title?
Womp of the year or something?
Gomp of the year.
Yes.
Womp.
I don't know what womp is. Is that a CBB thing?
Yeah, that's a.
It's an Earwolf show.
No.
Womp it up yeah. With Jessica St. Clair.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes. But yeah, so I'm trying not to swear.
Jessica St. Clair ain't walking through that door. We're not talking about that. Don't worry. First of all, Devin, calm down.
I'm good.
You don't have to be the Earwolf dude now.
I was just saying, womp it up.
Okay.
Different networks.
Yeah, if only
you don't see me here talking about Jonah Radio with Cash and Neil, where we just take, you know, submissions from bands. You don't hear me talking about my podcast that's on Scarborough Country Network, you know, like where we listen to bands and stuff like that that submit.
Well, look, finish this story and then we're going to get into that. I want to get into this.
But I saw a guy gets bumped into and he tells the guy to, you know, take a hike or whatever. And then, that guy, with his, beer mug, picks up and then, punches that guy in the face with the beer mug.
Okay.
Like it shatters, it cuts his face open. And then that guy just takes the punch, turns.
Yeah.
And then like doesn't fall and then just knocks that guy out.
Yeah. That's bad news. If you didn't
turns back and knocks the guy out.
Yeah. If you don't take care of business with a mug.
Yeah.
You're in trouble.
And then the guy, after he knocks out the dude, goes to the bartender and says, "Can I get a rag and another beer?"
Oh my, for a blood rag.
Yeah, blood rag.
Can I get a blood rag? Well, they already know. If you ask for a rag, it's a blood rag.
It's a blood rag.
Yeah.
But that's, yeah. Speaking of places, that's a place I would go steal beers.
Look, I didn't bring it up. You brought it up.
You know what? Other people still bring it up to me.
You couldn't help yourself. It's like.
But I want to end it.
The telltale heart. Oh, I ended it already. This is over.
No, it's not. It's not.
All right, fine. So let me just clear that. First of all, tell everybody about your network.
Oh, I'm just on
the. Oh, no. Tell everybody about the network you're on.
Oh, Scarborough Country?
Yeah.
It's the Sklars. They have a new network which is like a subsidiary of Starburns okay. Audio. So anyway, Jonah Radio's over there now.
Okay.
We just keep on hopping networks, hoping that someone will give us at least $5 to do the show.
Mm-hmm.
So then people can hear Jonah Radio, which you've been doing Jonah Radio for a while.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Isn't it crazy?
We're trying now. It feels like we're doing a different show now.
Mm-hmm.
But we still, you know, get angry at each other. But it's still like we're still finding bands. Bands are still submitting songs.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's nice.
And how many years is it in?
I don't know. 6 or 7. Can't remember.
Now you're in the sweet spot.
Yeah. Now we don't
care. You're comfortable doing
it. Now we're comfortable doing it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you're not... You started off on what network?
We were on the Nerdist Network,
mm-hmm.
And then left that a while back, and then because we wanted to go over to Max Fun, and then we were at Max Fun for a year, and then the Sklars asked if we wanted to come to their new network mm-hmm. that they were starting, and then and you know they've been good buds for
sure.
since I started, so we wanted to go over there and help them out, and then I like the idea of just you know. Like when I was a kid, I on VHS, I owned the Great Rock and Roll Swindle
okay,
and Sex Pistols. And I always just kind of like the idea that we keep on hopping around.
Yeah. Just bouncing from, it's like you're a free agent.
Yes.
Yeah. You keep just trying different teams on for size.
Yeah. No one's giving me like a multi-record deal. I just need to get the one.
Yes. Maybe this is the right one.
This is the right one.
The Sklars.
Yeah.
You know, the Sklars are probably, they have a contingency plan for when you bolt.
I think they're, yeah, they probably do. I'm not reliable.
You're not here to poach. You're not going to poach.
No. I don't have that capacity, to be honest with you.
Nor would they want it. Earwolf has had many opportunities to make an offer to me, having been a part of this scene for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
To no profit. But, you know... I'll keep on trying. Maybe, you know, in the 100th anniversary of Comedy Bang Bang, maybe I'll be allowed back on
the show. 100th anniversary. You mean 100 years?
Yes, 100 years from now.
So it'll be like a hologram of Scott Aukerman.
I think all podcasters have spoken enough words into that they could easily manifest any conversation they want out of anything we've done.
Just run it through some kind of thing that taps into what you would say.
Yes.
So there'll probably be like a real living person who initiates certain things, and then it'll suddenly be just like the dead version of whatever podcaster it is.
Yeah,
will just tap into their personality.
Yeah, so basically I think like a programmer would go on and say, you know, it'd be so great to have Tom Sharpling, who of course died in the great tidal wave, the New York tidal wave of 2025.
Yeah.
And then
only 6 years, huh?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, all right, that's fair.
But like
more than I
like how you took it as you only have 6 years, not the entire area.
Think about everybody. If I'm gone, gone.
Then who would they like who you would be talking to Extension Prime.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
And then, they would, every word that ever, that person ever said, every word you ever said, and they would say, and I want them to talk about, you know,
whatever's happening in 20. Yeah. Well, if I'm dead in 2025, I'd hope there would at least be a grace period before they would just create some version. We'd be like, it's like, man, he's gone.
Well, no, this is going to be in like 90 years.
That's right. So that's kind of a leap. Look, assuming that people are going to be like, when the technology catches up, then Tom will come back finally. And find, like, as if they're keeping the flame alive.
Yeah.
We can do it.
Don't they do something like that in the movie Her, where they get, like Alan Watts? It's like they basically take every word he ever said and then made an AI out of him.
Uh-huh.
Yes. That would be essentially what's going to be able to happen to every podcaster.
So I'll be great. Well, that'll be.
Yeah.
I hope that people 90 years from now, boy, oh boy, you guys have so much to look forward to of finally hearing. You finally get to hear an episode of You Made It Weird. What you finally can know what Pete Holmes would think in the 22nd century.
In that collage that you presented earlier, was that AG saying that he didn't like Pete's laugh?
No, it's Nick Kroll.
Oh, it was Nick Kroll?
Yeah. He didn't like the laugh.
Yeah.
It's my favorite clip ever. Yeah. So, no, that's a great thing. We look forward to the tech. Oh, I want to say this. If you're listening to this in the 22nd century,
hello.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Sorry for what we did. We all could have stopped it, apparently. We were all complicit in it.
We stopped using bags and straws, and yet to no avail.
We thought we were working toward fixing the thing, but we really weren't. And we watched it. What happened to you guys?
We tweeted about trying to fix it.
We just watched it happen. And then when we changed our phones every 2 years, yeah, that probably didn't help you at all.
But now you have buildings made out of old phones.
Yes, exactly. You've got all those old phones. You know, those were our phones once.
Those were our phones once. You know, find our thumbprints in the matrix, print it out, and then see which one you can find.
Yes, and I'm sorry that the life expectancy is 30 years now for a human because of what we did to the planet.
But hey, that's probably what the cavemen, that was their life.
Yes.
The cave people.
So yes, well, thank you for, first of all, not just saying cavemen, I appreciate that.
It's cavemen and women.
Very, very progressive of you.
Thank you so much.
And that's the kind of thing
I think they're less than. I think they're less than.
Oh, okay. Well, this is not Jonah Radio. Come on, let's keep the...
Gotta keep it positive on Best Show.
Yeah, it is a positive show.
Is it?
Yes. Devin, you're a super fan.
Yeah.
It's fair to say, right?
I own the box set.
So you own the box set, yes.
I got a piece of the phone as
well. You have a piece, so you pre-ordered the box
set. I did pre-order the box
set. That's the nicest thing I've ever heard. What is your favorite thing about the Best Show? It's the positivity, right?
It's the unending positivity. Unwavering.
The problem is, and I don't know why people don't understand this, I'm not negative. I'm positive. I know how the world could be, and I am just disappointed by how it is. that's the rub.
Yeah.
I know how it could be, but I see how it is. And I will never be able to make those two things come together. There will always be a rift, because I just know. I know what people are capable of. When did you start listening to the show, Devin?
2009, I believe. Okay.
Yeah, that was building to a troubling run. I always can feel the 2010 was a troubling year for the Best Show.
Oh, so you weren't listening when I was first mentioned on the podcast then, which I think was in 2007 or 8.
Yeah.
I went back.
Do you know the legend? Do you know the legend of Jonah Ray on the show?
No, I don't think I do, no.
Well, he wants to put this to bed tonight. And we will, maybe.
I hope so.
I hope so, too.
We have in real life, but I want it to be on the waves, man.
This is how it
works. It doesn't get solved unless other people hear it. This is something I found.
What year are we talking about?
Right now?
No, what year did it go down in?
I think 2007.
2007. Now picture this. So
over 10 years ago.
Los Angeles, 2007.
Koreatown.
George W. Bush is president. Right?
Yes.
Yeah, oh, yeah. 2007.
He had to think about it because it wasn't really him, man. Right? We all saw Adam McKay's vice squad.
Yes, Adam McKay's vice squad. So now, Los Angeles. I'm at a place called Barcade.
Mm-hmm. Miss T's Barcade.
Which is, get this, a bar and an arcade. Hence the name, Barcade.
Can you still call it a barcade when pretty much none of the games worked?
Yes, that was one of those ones where it's just like, hey, can I get my quarter back?
Yeah.
You just have to go back up to the bar.
Yeah.
Hey, the Donkey Kong machine's not working. It ate my quarter. Yeah, here you go.
It happened again. Please stop putting them in there.
Stop trying to play Donkey Kong.
I can't get the quarters out of there either. Yes.
So I'm there with my friend Marcia, and I went in, had a cold beer, right? And then set it down on the bar, turn around, it's gone. Now, who on earth could have taken this beer? Let me just tell you this. A young, hungry comedian
Jonah Ray, yet to be flush with the success that waited, that was awaiting him a few years later. He's like an urchin at this point. He's grinding out. He's on his grind. He's just doing what he can to get by. He's at the bar. Now, just realize that a video that Jonah had made earlier that year was a video on how to steal beer from people in bars.
That's a fictionalized version of what was, one would do. It was called The Freeloader's Guide to Easy Living, and the first episode was about how to get free drinks. Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways to get free drinks was you steal them when people aren't looking, right?
I mean, as a visually, you wait for a big song to go on to clear out the
So I turn around. The beer's gone. So this guy has a beer in his hand. He denies it was him.
Let's just say that I also was ordering a cold beer, and I turned to talk to a friend, which I had many of there. Uh-huh.
Oh, no, you were a very popular guy. Very popular guy back then. You're still popular. But at that place, you were like the you were running things.
I drank there a lot by myself.
Sure.
And so as I was waiting for a drink, I talked to a friend, and I turn back, and I see a nice cold beer waiting for me. So I grab it, start drinking it.
Yeah, because that's how it works.
That's what I thought.
When they just appear.
When you order it, sure. I don't know how long I was talking to my friend.
Mm-hmm.
I turn back, the beer's there.
Sure. When the bartender brought your, see, according to your story now, though, what should have followed is the bartender going like, here's your beer. And you're like, I thought I had my beer already. No, I'm bringing your beer. That was his beer.
So wait,
moment?
But in this moment, the bartender never says to you, here's your beer.
Oh, I had it already.
You had it already?
Yes.
Had you taken any drinks?
I had just gotten it.
Ooh. So you weren't that thirsty for it. Didn't seem like
what do I have to chug it? To own it? For ownership, you have to chug it? Was it a race?
You order a drink. It shows up. You're like, I'm going to let this sit for a while. You know what? The bubbles, normally they hurt my tongue. I'm going to let this flatten out a bit.
This is what you call a switcheroo, what he's doing right now. He's trying to create a different argument.
Mm-hmm. This has been the argument my stance from the start.
The argument I'm saying
from
is
that night.
You stole my beer. You're saying, can you believe this guy doesn't drink beer fast? What's wrong with him, right? This guy's a weirdo. He got the beer. He's trying to make me like I'm the villain in this somehow.
You're trying to tell me. You ordered a beer. You were sitting there. You're trying to it just dropped down. You had it, and then I took.
Oh, I had it in my hand, and then set it and talked to someone and turned around again, and it was gone. I didn't know you had to keep it in your hand, otherwise it was up for grabs. I didn't realize that's how it worked. It's not general seating at a festival.
So thing. When you order a beer at a bar you're hanging out and then a beer shows up.
Yeah.
Do you ask everyone around you? Hey everyone, before I pick this up and of course put it back down so I can flatten it out a bit. I want to know if this is your beer? You, sir, ma'am, your beer?
This is so off point. You're. This is literally how it happened. I go, one beer, please. Bartender comes over. Hands me the beer. I hand the bartender money. Take the beer. I had some of the beer also. See, that's the thing.
Now that you don't realize. You said you didn't have any of the beer.
I didn't say that. I just didn't drink all of it. You're drinking my backwash.
Now you're trying to tell me that I was drinking some of your backwash? Listen, this is what
That's what happens when you steal people's beers.
It was a big misunderstanding.
No, you literally made a video explaining how to steal beers from people. That's like if I did it level confession. That's like OJ writing a book, If I Did It.
You've been poisoning the New York podcast community against me ever since then.
I'm not in the New York podcast. There's no such thing as the New York podcast.
Julie Newmar. What's her name? The redhead?
Julie Newmar. Julie Klausner.
Julie Klausner. Repeated references to me being no good.
Yeah, of course. No, well, you stole the beer.
It was a misunderstanding.
No, you're trying to turn it into a, you're trying to lessen the charge on this to misunderstand. Like, I am guilty of misunderstanding. You stole the beer. You were
unknowingly stole a beer.
Unknowingly.
You're saying that it like, stuck it was to malicious. Your hand. You were saying it was malicious.
I don't think it's malicious to steal a beer. I just think you're just out for a free beer. I'm not saying there's malice in it. It's a low stakes crime.
Sure.
So you grab people's beers. It was sport to you back then. You see how many beers you can get away with snaking that night.
Not true.
It's fine.
I had ordered a beer. I was working at that time.
Sure. Working on videos explaining how to steal beers from people.
That paid me to make them.
Sure. But why wouldn't you keep that money?
So have you never written anything?
Oh, I've written stuff.
Oh, you've written stuff.
Yeah, maybe you've seen the Christmas episode of Divorce.
No, I haven't.
Well, it's waiting for you. It's very moving.
I'm sure I'll get to it eventually.
Do you like Robert Forster?
Yes, the actor?
Yes, the actor Robert Forster.
Yeah.
He's in it.
Okay.
Nice guy. You know what he gave me? Letter opener.
Did he?
Yeah. He brings letter openers to set. He's like, yeah, I get this gift. I give them out to the people. And they just like, who, and he was like looking at the call sheet with me. He's like, who else should I give the letter openers to on this thing?
And it was you.
No, he gave me mine already.
Oh, he already gave you mine.
Yeah.
But,
so anyway, I've written things. What was your point? Have I written things and have it come true or something? Is that what you're going to try to say?
No, I was going
to
say, have you written things that maybe, were fake? Maybe it was a fake thing.
Sure. Yeah. I know what that's like. And you're trying to, you dreamt it though. You came up with the, you were giving advice.
Yes. I'm the one that came up with stealing drinks.
Well, you're the one who filmed a video of you teaching people how to do it. It's fine.
It was a sketch.
It's fine.
Okay.
It's fine. You stole the beer. It's fine. You just say, I stole the beer. You stole it.
All right,
it's
here fine. We go. Here we go. Tom?
Yeah?
I want to apologize.
Oh, I don't need an apology.
Sure as hell fooled me.
I don't
need wanted admittance.
I just want admittance.
You want guilt.
Yeah. No, it's not guilt. You had to do what you had to do at that point.
Do you still drink beer?
You were an urchin.
I was 23 or 4.
Yeah. You were a grifter, young Hollywood comedian grifter. You and your little rat pack there of
who was in my rat pack?
TJ Miller and
I didn't even know that dude then.
Eric Andre,
not part of my scene, dude. They weren't even in LA yet.
Who was in your scene?
Neil Mahoney, Peter Atencio.
Okay,
and
the guy directed. He directed
that.
Freddy. What was the movie?
Freddy.
Keanu.
Yeah, and Key and Peele.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And, so to you, Peter Atencio,
Neil Mahoney,
and who else was in your crew?
That's this guy, Jason Ruiz.
Okay.
That was my crew. Mm-hmm. That was my rat pack of, of comics.
Look, as a sidebar, and this is, we can edit this out if this bothers you. How many sleepless nights do you have with all this Kumail success? This just haunts you, right? It haunts you a little bit.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest.
It has to.
I don't know.
It has to.
I don't. Are you, like, do you want me to be serious, or do you want me to kind of like?
I'm joking.
Play into it?
I'm joking.
Yeah,
I'm winding you up. Just admit you stole the beer. Just admit it. It's fine.
Is that all you want? Admittance.
Just say you did it, and then this is over until the end of this will be over forever.
But why would I admit to something that was
something you did?
It was
because it's the right thing to do.
But it was an accident. It was a mistake.
Yeah.
It was a misunderstanding.
Yeah, that's how it goes sometimes.
And then you said you stole my beer, and I told you.
But see, the thing I don't understand is you're claiming you went up to the bar, ordered a beer, and then a beer appeared that I had been holding.
Stop dropping elements out of my story. I said I ordered a beer.
Yeah.
Which at a bar I go to all the time. Then start chatting with someone nearby. Yeah. But friends.
Then you turn around.
There's a beer there.
Yeah. And you just go, oh, this is my beer.
It's my beer.
So then what happened when the bartender brought your beer over, though?
You know what? Because you got in on it, I was like, oh, I didn't know it was your beer.
Yeah. But what happened when the bartender brought this, your beer over?
I was like, my mistake.
So you had two beers then.
You stopped me at that moment and said I was taking your beer. And I said, sorry, I didn't realize it was yours.
Yeah.
Neither of us can really remember exactly what happened.
Oh, I remember it. I remember it.
What happened then? What happened when the bartender brought my beer?
See, this is what actually happened. You got the beer. You stole my beer.
Yeah.
Then you went over and you played Dig Dug. You skulked over to a Dig Dug machine. It was probably broken. You're probably pretending it worked. I wouldn't.
You were letting them know that the Donkey Kong was broken. They put down the quarter to pay you back. I took your beer and your quarter and went over to Dig Dug.
Well, I don't know about the quarter. This is a new new crime I'm hearing about. It's okay.
Okay. All right. You know what?
Mm-hmm.
What's the thing? What's the thing that the West Memphis 3 had to do?
Don't lump anything of a real crime in with this. This is low stakes. That's real human suffering.
That's true.
I'm just trying
to remember the thing when you admit guilt, but like you still don't say you did it.
You can call it admit guilt. Just admit it. It's okay.
Can I give you a beer?
That's not what the point is.
It's not the point. I know.
I don't need a beer.
But I want to give you one.
Do you have one on you?
Yes, I do.
Oh, my goodness. You brought a beer with you. Well, this is unbelievable.
Here you go.
Yeah, but see, this is the thing with this beer. This is your beer. You have your own beer now.
Yeah.
This didn't cost you anything.
Yes, it did. I don't make money off of that. They won't give me any free
Notorious ones. Pog.
Notorious POG.
POG. And what's that? Is that stand for?
Passion Orange Guava.
Okay.
It's a type of juice that I grew up drinking in Hawaii.
Okay. Well, thank you for the beer. I mean, it was a bottle, but this is a can. So that's it's close enough.
You're not remembering it right. They were pints, friend. They were pints of Asahi.
Chose.
No, you weren't.
I don't know what that dumb dump of a bar had in it. You think I actually care about this? All I care about is justice. You stole the beer. Do you want to come and sit in the chair? Sure. We have Hayes Davenport is here.
Hello. Hi, John. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you for the first time.
Yeah.
Everyone always asks if we know each other.
I know. And now we still don't.
Don't. After this, probably.
Am I up? I got to turn my headphones up. I'm a little early. Sorry. Tom told me.
Come whenever you want.
Tom told me, give me an hour to work the speed bag with this guy.
I have a feeling that he meant to like wrap it up with me.
Yeah.
Shortly before I brought up the stealing of the beer.
Yeah. He told me to bring a dustpan.
Yeah.
He said he's gonna break this guy like Mr. Wilson's window.
Yeah. Oh, good old Dennis the Menace reference.
Yeah, that's right.
Is that Dennis the Menace from the movie or the?
That's from the movie, played by Mason Gamble, who was in Rushmore as well, and Walter Matthau.
No, that was Bill Murray.
Wasn't Mason Gamble who plays the teacher, the principal or whatever? Is that the same guy that plays Dennis the Menace? Mason Gamble was the hot French teacher.
So now I am confused
because Mason Gamble. He was Dennis the Menace,
mm-hmm.
with the cowlick and the
no
suspenders.
Does Dennis the Menace have a cowlick? Isn't that alfalfa has the cowlick?
Whatever, the tuft of, whatever you call that. He's got the little swoop on his head.
Yeah.
Now it's like an alt-right haircut.
It's a signifier of a scamp.
Right. Dennis the Menace has.
You call them scamps?
That's what I call the alt-right, the Proud Boy scamp.
You scabs.
Oh,
it's just shaking your finger.
Fun. So, Hayes, you've been following the Best Show for a while.
I have.
This beer thing about this. You've heard the legend of.
I've heard the story, yeah. And I can answer your question from earlier. Does Tom still drink beer? And I would say not really. He's very kind of gun shy about it.
Ever since then.
Yeah.
I just drink from a flask. Is it weird for you to be here with Devin and he's just like being cool. He's like, he's not sweating it like he does on Hollywood Handbook. He's like not on, he's like, you can see there's like an ease to him over there.
He feels like there's like laughter to, that he has something to contribute. He seems very comfortable with his role. He's not expecting to be. Have you been called in on this one so far?
Yeah, yeah.
We're
talking. Don't act like it's like an obvious thing.
Oh, yeah, sure. Of course. Yeah.
Of course.
Do you know where Devin grew up?
Minnesota.
Nope.
No.
I'm close.
I moved from there. Oh, so okay. That's to, you well remembered, but no, Colorado, Boulder.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. You see it a little bit?
Yeah, I see it. That's where, you know, where, Jeff Ulrich, who used to own Earwolf, moved to Boulder for a very short time and came back. Hmm. Not an accepting place where you grew up, is what I'm led to understand.
You guys keep to yourselves right?
I haven't lived there in 20 years.
So. Yeah, sure. These are our people. There's us and them.
Yeah.
Well, it is a little bit like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like Midsummer.
Yes.
Right? A little bit. A little bit like Midsummer?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite one in Midsommar?
Florence Pugh. She was great.
You liked her?
Yeah.
Kind of a niche choice.
Yeah. Of the dudes, who'd you like best?
Who was your favorite?
Who'd you like best?
Will Poulter.
Now, who's that now?
He's the snarky one, the vaping one.
Yeah, the one who's hanging from the rafters.
Yeah.
He gets his weenie bit where the Millers.
That's right.
Yes. Oh, right. Yes.
It was very exciting to see him. I was like, oh, it's Tarantula. The guy from We're the Millers. Yeah. And he's urinating on a sacred tree. Yep. What was the scariest thing in Midsommar to you, Devin? Was it when he couldn't move and he was inside the bear and the thing was on fire? That's what I had a nightmare about.
Really?
Was that.
Wow. I mean, I kind of agree with Jonah. I don't think it was that scary. But I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
I thought it was great. I just don't think it was meant to really be a ultra scary
Oh, you don't
movie.
Think?
Not like Hereditary.
Well, though. Tell my nightmare that. About the bear.
How can we do that? Well, how can we get in and tell your
you
nightmare?
You know who could? Mork.
Mork.
Yeah, Mork.
And Freddy.
Freddy could do
and
it.
And Freddy.
Yeah.
Like from that movie that Peter Atencio directed. Or, sorry, that was Keanu.
So would he do, when you were running your scam, would he do like a thing where he would like drop his keys and everybody would look and then you grab the beer? How did you do it?
We didn't really do it.
Was he just like, would he go... Kill screen coming up. Got a kill screen. And everybody would look. And then Jonah grabs the beer. Oh, not a kill screen. Sorry. My mistake.
That's a pretty good time specific reference. Cause that King of Kong did come out around that same time.
Sure.
Yeah. So everyone would know something was up.
When you watch King of Kong and they tried to spin it like that one dude was the bad guy.
Billy Mitchell.
And the other guy, Steve Wiebe.
Yeah.
Is a good guy. What? He's ignoring his child while playing Donkey Kong in his garage.
And the other one,
yeah, Daddy's playing Donkey Kong now. Leave me alone. Daddy's playing Donkey Kong for 11 hours. Go away.
Yeah.
But and the other guy, just because he likes hot sauce, he's a bad guy.
Likes hot sauce, America, ties, American ties.
Anybody who would be that into Donkey Kong is the bad guy.
Yes. Everyone's the bad guy in it.
In that movie. I don't look at that Steve Wiebe as some kind of hero.
No.
You got a kid and you're busy playing Donkey Kong. You got to figure some things out.
I went to when that movie premiered, there was a wing place in Hollywood called Big Wang's.
Sure.
Yeah.
And they had a party there for the movie.
Sure. And how many wings did you steal?
They were free.
Everything's free with this guy.
Because of that video you made. It's because it's in the video. The Freeloader's Guide.
It's in the video.
You made it in the video. I can't help it that you basically filmed your confession. I can't help that. You know what it is? It's sick. It's like Zodiac Killer level sick. It's like
he might not even know he does it.
No, exactly. It's like catch me before I kill again. Right? That's kind of what you're doing.
You could have stopped me, Mr. Policeman.
Fine, yes. The clues were everywhere. So
anyway, I was at this thing.
Yeah.
And Weeby's in the middle of the bar trying to get the high score. They had a machine there for him. And everyone's wondering if Billy Mitchell's going to show up. Apparently he was in town but refused to come.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guy, Captain Awesome, was there, then they wouldn't let him in.
Wow. Because
apparently he's like the, him and like the direct, the people who made the movie do not like him.
Uh-huh.
And he was outside and they would not let him in. And it's, you know, Big Wang's is just all open windows. So he's just on the sidewalk right outside watching it is everyone.
Very public facing.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's a sad day for Captain Fans. So
you make a movie about arcade weirdos. You should have to like, you know,
you don't get to just go, I don't like that guy.
You know, this guy wants to keep hanging out with me. That's what you signed up for.
Yeah. One of my favorite things was the guy who like retired at 30 and moved to Lake Winnipesaukee or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And then you could tell that he was excited and he knew that there was a camera crew coming to shoot this thing because the shirt he's wearing is clearly like from one of those. It's like a nice button up collared shirt from the like JCPenney's and the plants because you could still see all the folds.
Yes, in all his the shirt. Pleats from folding. Yeah. Yeah.
He literally unfolded it and put it on and got filmed.
Yeah.
Like he, like when
still
they showed
collar stays like falling out.
The cardboard.
They showed up.
Peeking out.
He found the bag that the shirt was in.
I'll be back in a second, guys.
Yeah.
Where's that shirt?
There's a hanger just sticking out of the bag.
So Hayes Davenport from Hollywood Handbook.
Yeah. Right?
One of the funniest podcasts. Maybe Jonah said to me, what's the funniest podcast? I said, it's Hollywood Handbook, Jonah.
Did that happen?
That literally happened.
Was it on mic?
No, it was.
Oh, even better. That's much better.
It's real
That's
life.
That's pure.
Yeah, it happened in the lobby here when.
Okay. So he was looking at a sign maybe that said Hollywood Handbook. So it was.
Well, we were right next to it.
But what pod do you think I'm going to say from the wall there?
Oh, yeah. He relegated it to
Conan O'Brien.
This is what's the funniest that's on the wall? Yeah. Conan doesn't need the help.
He needs a friend.
You guys don't need the help. You're a very big podcast.
We are not dropping it, listeners. For sure.
You're holding steady.
Yes.
Yeah. Plateau and podcasting
yes,
is what we have.
We are cruising through like the great plains of podcast listenership.
Well, please. Well, welcome to the – that is where I live.
That you mentioned a name, Jonah, that I haven't heard in a long time, but is connected to Sean. So Jason Ruiz created a show called Murder Police.
That's right.
That Sean, my podcasting partner, worked on, never aired.
Never aired. That's the story of Jason Ruiz's life. It's like the guy is brilliant, has made multiple cartoons and scripts, and gets paid for it, gets stuff gets picked up, but none of it is ever, even back in the Super Deluxe days, like he like made this thing, great thing called Purgatory. Did you know, animated it himself. It's really crazy and dark. And then they're like, we're not showing this.
Yeah. And Murder Police fully produced.
They did like a whole season.
Yep.
Yeah.
So somewhere.
Voiced everything.
Mm-hmm. There are finished episodes of a show. Mm-hmm. Murder
There's
Police.
A dusty hard drive.
Yeah. I think that just it got to a point where they were like, maybe we shouldn't make Cops too goofy right now.
Right.
And who are the voices on Murder Police?
Oh, I don't remember.
Chi McBride.
Chi McBride.
That's it. Jason did.
Yeah, he does. I think he does most of the voices. Mm-hmm.
But you know who ran that show?
David Goodman.
David Goodman.
Yeah.
WJ president.
Yes.
Now getting his revenge for Murder Police.
Yeah. Really helping my career out right now.
With just names for you to look up and get a hold of? Or?
Can't you? You're one of the only people who can do any business right now, right?
Why?
Isn't your agency open?
No.
Oh, I thought it was. I got confused.
Writers Guild.
No, I know, but more I thought like your wrong, agency was one
like,
of the...
More
was,
like Wrongers Guild.
Brongers Guild.
Matt Brongers,
Matt Brongers
Guild.
Matt Brongers has his own guild now. You guys should really... The healthcare is not
local.
The best.
International like, Brotherhood of Brongers. Yeah.
That sounds like a super deluxe show. Brongers Guild.
It's back. It's coming.
Super Deluxe coming back.
Yeah, it's coming back.
Because it already came back and went away again.
I think they're going to do Wednesday to Friday this week.
Okay. It's like they're like cicadas.
Yeah.
It has to go dormant for a while.
It's like they just show up every once in a while. Then they're gone. And
someone shows up to Turner and goes, what about short form entertainment?
Sure. You check your almanac and you'll realize, oh, Super Deluxe will be back this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who owns this thing now? What? Hey, what if we bring that back?
That's Quibi is basically doing the short form stuff. I'm sure it's Super Deluxe. They're like, oh, very original idea.
Yeah.
Jeffrey.
Quibi.
Where'd you get that idea?
They didn't do themselves any favors with that name.
Quick Bites. Yeah,
Quick Quibi. Bites.
Oh, I know.
So it should be Quibi.
I wasn't sure.
Yeah, but it just like
Quibi.
It still doesn't matter what it stands for. It's not. I think it's the name is goofy enough that people are just going to be like, Quibi. It doesn't matter what's on it. They're going to write it off.
Yeah. Might as well just call it CISO.
Yeah. CISO. Those are the good old days. CISO. Remember?
CISO many content.
Yeah. Yeah. If anyone, if I at any point I do get a show on Quibi, you know it's going to go down. Mm-hmm. You know it's going to get canceled quite quick.
Because you had a show called Hidden America.
Yeah.
And is that why you chose CISO? So it would be hidden? Is that why that was the choice?
It's because True TV didn't want it.
Because it was called C, but it was CISO. It wasn't CISO. The second S was a 5. It was 50 because that's how many people subscribed. It was C, 50 people can see what's on this platform.
This is, I can see your brain trying to remember all the jokes you did about CISO.
Oh, I could do them all the time. Yeah. Are you kidding? My CISO chunk. I was at the, were you at that thing in New York for CISO, the opening?
Yeah. I think it was like me, Kulop, and Dan Harmon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We were working together at the time.
We were.
I remember
the next
optimism
day
was, in the air when that party
next
was
day
happening.
Was just like, I don't think CISO's going to make it.
Yeah. Tom came back and said exactly how it was going to go down.
Yeah.
Just no.
I remember that.
That did not happen.
Harmon quest that did not happen that was supposed to happen that night.
That's
live
right
on stage. It was, there were some elements involved that kept the stars of Harmon quest from doing an episode of Harmon quest.
Yeah.
That was very early in the divorce writer's room.
That's right.
When you say maybe you've seen the Christmas episode of Divorce, uh-huh, it's like literal. That's like the maybe is for real.
Yeah, maybe. What did you write? You wrote the episode, which one now?
The episode I wrote was called Church.
Church, and that's the one where Robert
goes to church very briefly. Mm-hmm. It's not an episode title worthy moment within the show. It happens off camera.
Now, what did Francis do in that one?
What did Francis do? Something with the gallery. I know that. Mm-hmm. No, she got a job at Christie's or Sotheby's.
Oh, because that's when she was in the thing and the guy went, nice eye.
Yes. Right? Yeah. That was you, I think. That was your pitch.
No, actually, it was your name's on it, so you should. I'm sure you.
Speaking of names related to that show, I get a text last night from Brett Morris. Mm-hmm. You know Brett?
I know the name.
Earwolf engineer. You might know him from a season 2 episode of Divorce.
Uh huh.
Was that the Christmas episode?
No, it was not. They didn't do one every year.
Oh,
it's like Thanksgiving on Friends. It's.
Someone is like, you've got a delivery from Brett Morris, and he sent me this subtitled thing, and he was like, I didn't know about this, and I was kind of like, I don't know, I certainly don't remember that.
Did you take credit for it?
I said what I think probably happened is I was around just long enough to name a character, and then split, but it could also have been a total accident.
Yeah,
but they kept using this name. The show is still out or just ran or coming back out again? I don't know.
Divorce. Tonight's, when we're recording this, is the final episode that's airing.
Is that like now? Wow.
In a couple hours, people are sitting around wondering what's going to happen. Who lives and who dies?
And that what's so amazing is we had it all planned out from that first day. You remember?
Sure.
Like the whole like
the arc,
the map, the story map.
Yes,
like we knew exactly what was.
Sure, we knew.
For people, did they actually plan this, or did they come up with it? Like, yeah, we planned it.
We knew where the Dufresne family was going, right?
So they did still use a name that I think was never said out loud in the first season.
Uh huh.
One of the characters.
Oh, this is.
Was named Nick Clavelin.
Uh-huh.
Because...
Oh, this is the funniest thing.
Because the Nick was shooting on the on our same lot.
They had shot right before we did.
Yes, like and Clive Owen was the star.
Yeah. And that was... So you made the last name
Clavelwood.
Yeah.
Not for, like, it was for like a nameplate. It was something that would never be said. And then in season two, I'm sure they were like, what's Nick's last name?
Clavelwood.
And it's spoken through the entire season. Oh
my God. You had the one that was, that topped all of them though was your pitch. Because there was a character named Dallas.
Oh, right.
And Hayes proposed that they were like, what should Dallas's name be? And he said it should be.
I had to write it down.
Yeah, like,
it was B-Y-E-R-S hyphen C-L-U-B-B.
Yeah.
Her name would be Dallas Buyers Club. You have to remember, this was 2015.
Yeah. That would, if that had gotten through.
I don't think it got very close. But it was one of those things where, like, again, like, we weren't saying it a lot. It could just be a little Easter egg.
Buyer's Club. Because you just say it, like, off. Buyer's Club. If you just hit it slightly wrong, slightly different, no one would catch.
Yeah.
Oh, those were the days.
Those were the days.
Yeah. So, here's a Star Wars story. We were talking about Star Wars earlier. When you saw Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
I was saying when I was sitting there in the theater, there was like, I was at a midnight show the Thursday. Mm. Yeah, I guess it was technically Friday at 12:01. There's just that moment where I was just like, oh, this is not a good movie. What if this Star Wars movie's bad?
Yeah.
Do you remember that feeling?
I remember experiencing it first with the remastered original trilogy.
Okay.
Remember where they put that back in theaters and they were like, there's new stuff in this. Like, go see it. And there's the one scene with Jabba, like a fully CGI Jabba that's new.
Yes.
And then I just remember being like, looking so hard for new content and there's so, so little, except when the Death Star explodes, there's like a big, like, blue rubber band that, like, shoots out of it, kind of.
Yeah.
And, but even that, if you're like, is so unimpressive for that moment.
Yeah.
I don't know if I saw Phantom Menace in theaters, because I think by the time it would have, like, gotten around, because I wasn't, like, waiting in line and stuff, like, I think everyone sort of knew it was a clunker.
Okay.
I remember seeing it, and I thought I was confused. And I remember being like, maybe I don't get it. Maybe I came into it with something else in mind, and so I was kind of walked away. They were like, did you like it? I was like, I don't know. I mean, it seemed pretty, the pod racing. And then I went like the next day by myself, and I was just like, oh, it's just like a courtroom drama. It's just like, it's C-SPAN.
Yeah.
And then I was like, no, it's not good. But it, for some reason, I thought that maybe I'm like, maybe it's just too heady for me. Maybe I'm not getting it.
It makes you wonder. There is a lot of that same kind of like just making plans talk in like A New Hope or whatever.
Yeah.
And if he had been allowed to direct Harrison Ford and Carrie Fisher and just not let them be so naturally charismatic that if they were just speaking in this dead monotone for the whole movie and were allowed to place the camera, it could have been pretty much exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
If he had, like, instead of having, like, two people in a frame, had taken the camera 400 feet away.
Now, when I saw Return of the Jedi, right? I was a young boy and I'm in the theater and I'm in the movie starting. And there was this, we're in the theater and it starts, it's like credits, the thing starts and it's all kids because it was like a 1 o'clock show. And everybody starts, the kids start going, a long, long time ago. And again, like the kids are all reading together and there was like one adult in the theater. It was a guy who was like in the second row. He got up, turned to all of us and went, shut up!
After how long?
Five seconds. He was like, this is not happening. He clearly took work off.
You gotta nip this stuff in the bud.
He's like, all right, I did a half day at work. I can make it over to the theater, get in there. I'll go in after the movie. I'll get some more work done.
And he's just like, oh, this place is, look at all these kids here. This is a disaster. Oh, no. These kids better not ruin this thing. I've been waiting years. I'm not going to wait 3 years for this and have these kids.
Did they show, before Return of the Jedi, did they put A New Hope and Empire back in theaters?
I think they probably.
They must have.
They're probably still in the theaters. Right? Like, movies used to just be in theaters forever.
Yeah.
They're just around forever. I once saw that Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, in the movie, Brad Pitt plays a stunt guy. And there's a scene where he, like, jumps up on a wall, then jumps up on a roof. Mm-hmm. With ease. And there was a guy next to me, and he was like kind of like chatting here and there with his girlfriend throughout it. And I was just kind of like, I should say something. I don't know. And then, when Brad Pitt jumped up, the guy was like, oh, stuntman. And I was like, you know what?
It
was
worth it. Together.
I'm so glad I didn't say anything for the
what
guy.
What was out of place?
Oh, yeah. Stuntman.
Yeah. That movie was, that was a good movie.
I have another question about about Return of the Jedi.
What's that now?
Was that, like, considered a success for, like, people that, you know, after, like, Empire, the hype must have been just unbelievable. And the fact that, like, now the movie is perceived as worse, were people satisfied when you were, like, a kid seeing, you know, like...
Yeah, I think you just wanted to see... Wanted to see Han Solo come back.
Right.
I remember that was the most exciting thing I ever saw when they were out on that ship and they're going to dump him into the pit.
Yeah.
And it's like, bunk, 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 bunk. And when that, I almost cursed again. I almost felt that when that lightsaber came up on R2-D2, I was like, here we go. Because look, Luke Skywalker sucks. We can all admit that, right?
You need him.
Whiny.
You need him.
But then when he was suddenly, he's confident, he's like, yeah, you guys are all going to be dead. He says, you can let me out of here or we'll kill every one of you. And then they didn't buy it, right? I'm like, what are we going to do? We're going to show this guy, that guy with the teeth. Remember that guy?
Yeah.
What about Boba Fett? Were you bummed when he got?
Yeah, it was disgraceful.
Was it like, I mean, that's kind of.
Suddenly that's how Boba Fett dies. Because for 3 years, I'm like, this is the coolest dude ever, Boba Fett. He's dead in 30 seconds. The
original Darth Maul.
It's like, he's going to run this movie. The second this movie we're waiting for, Boba Fett's going to be in this whole thing.
Yeah.
He's in charge. It's going to be Darth Vader and Boba Fett holding it down. He's out so quickly. And then I think burped.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And it's just a Wilhelm scream. It's not even like.
Yes. They couldn't even. Yeah. So when you saw. Because Jonah worked at the Arclight. He was telling for Revenge of the Sith. And he had to go out and go. He had to go. What's another movie you went in front of the people and said that you remember during your run at the Arclight?
I mean, I did so many movies, but The Aviator, I was out during that time. Like I said, Crash.
How would you do Once Upon a Time in Hollywood? Give us a taste.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for coming to Arclight Hollywood. You are here to see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Quentin Tarantino's ninth movie. Give it up, Quentin Tarantino, everybody. There are some trigger warnings in this movie. If you are if you're surprised by characters being able to jump onto walls and roofs, just to let you know, someone does that. A woman gets...
It's a spoiler there. I'm going to have to say that people shouldn't know that.
Oh, they shouldn't know that. You're right.
Well, because it's a spoiler. Well, you see that like thing
going around. Yes,
that's on me. That's
where
on
it talks
me.
About like Fandango promoted it. And it was like Margot Robbie plays a young Sharon Tate.
Uh-huh. Oh my God.
So yeah, it sounds like the place has gone downhill.
Mark where that is. Not. We got to edit that out.
Yeah, that's on me. I'm sorry
I'm
about that.
Spoiler.
Yeah,
the spoiler. It's not a spoiler show.
Gotcha.
I was having such a relaxed time with my friends that I
yeah.
It's not Jonah Radio.
That's what they do now at Arclight. They spoil the entire movie. They have to.
I'll say this about that movie. When Clem Grogan showed up for it's a deep cut for Manson fans.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, screwheads here. That's cool. It's a third tier Manson fan. I remember. I was pretty juiced when he was sitting on that fence when Brad Pitt's faced him down. Yeah. That's not a spoiler.
Did you ever go in Westwood Village? There's like that big dome building, and there was a sushi restaurant there for a really long time.
Oh, and the, like where the road splits?
Yeah, like right in the center of Westwood Village. And when I lived in Westwood for a long time, and up until like 2012, you would walk into this like totally decent sushi restaurant, and standing like right in front of you, sort of above you, was a life size, probably a 6 foot tall Darth Maul.
Was that near Oz?
Yes, it was right across the street from Oz. Could have been purchased there. Not a cardboard standee, though. This is a like one of those like actual like statues of Darth Maul.
Really?
Yes, probably cost like $5,000.
Somebody was just like had a chance to pre-order one of these things before the movie's out. Just like,
yeah,
they're going to be more when it. Like, we should pull the trigger on it now.
And it was, yeah, it was out front of a sushi place?
Yes.
God, yeah.
It was like just inside as you opened the door.
That sounds very familiar. When I was hanging out there, I don't think I could have afforded.
Oh my God, it's Kevin.
This is unbelievable. We're here. Come on in. Come on in. This is,
you know, Chef Kevin.
This is a thrill for Hollywood Handbook fans.
Do you know Chef Kevin, Jonah?
I don't. Hi.
Kevin, how are you?
I'm Jonah. Hey, nice to meet you.
This is like a big summit between like different kind of podcasting galaxies.
Yes, you know? It really is. It's
I'm the foothills, of course.
Yeah, yes. And there you've got the New York podcasting emissary
for having
here.
You on the show. Thank you.
Sorry I'm doing that.
Hi, Tom.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. Hey, it's me, Brett. It's Brett Morris. What's going on?
Hello.
Brett just dropped me off.
Did he?
Yeah.
When did he come
where?
In?
A recording.
Where were? Where'd you go to record? There's a
secret recording.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Secret recording.
Yeah, it's a secret.
Do you make it a point to wear an earwolf sweater?
I have to. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's hear more about the secret recording.
I can't talk a lot about it.
Is it an earwolf secret?
Yeah.
So it's like, is it a show that's out yet?
No.
So this is like a show that's going to blow everybody's minds when it comes out.
Yeah.
Is it an A-lister?
I'd say.
If I guess it, will you tell me?
No.
First try. If you guess it first try, you have to tell.
John C. Reilly.
No.
Okay.
He's so relieved. Probably is him.
Probably, yeah, I think I got it.
They're doing everything they can to get us off that wall.
No way.
Just surely, if we have enough new shows, we'll get them off the wall.
It is one of the rare wall podcasts that don't have a picture. You guys don't have a
They're
picture.
Trying to get us to do one. Yeah. And I'm like, who's this is driving audience to these other shows?
Other podcasters coming and going, I should check out these two dudes.
Right?
That's what they're helping.
How are you, Kevin?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. It's nice to see you.
Nice to see you. I heard the recording went great on Saturday. Can't wait to listen.
Sure. It was a lot of fun. When does that come out?
Oh, a couple weeks.
Kevin has a new show.
That's what I wanted to. This? Yes. Yeah. Your show is called what now?
Maybe Don't.
What is Maybe Don't all about?
It's me and the producer of the Doughboys. It's a variety show.
Okay.
He plays music, and we go back and forth between little bits that we do in some actual conversations.
It's great. I have not texted him about it. I have not acknowledged that it's happening in any way.
How many episodes have you done?
The third one came out today.
I've heard the first one. It's very funny.
Is it funny?
Yes.
It's How great. Long is it?
An hour.
Mm. Is it an hour? It's good. You're happy with that length?
I am. Just shy.
Uh-huh.
I did have to check my phone at one point because it did kind of feel like a new episode had started after like maybe 15 minutes.
I think every episode kind of feels
But it that was way. The same episode for sure.
You're shaking off the – you're figuring it out a little bit.
I'm trying.
You're trying. Maybe don't.
Maybe don't.
Are you mad that Adam Scott took
– Don't. I know. Crazy timing.
Just a more confident version of your show.
Yep.
Now this, I guess, he is a new game show.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
You
watch
game
that
show.
Game show, the putt-putt golf one. What is that?
Holy moly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I have a friend who's about to be on it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, what's the show?
It's called Holy Moly. It's like a miniature golf
Oh, I thought that was you being exasperated.
No, that's
right. Like, have you seen that?
Holy
moly.
Holy moly. We're talking about this.
Ay, Dios mio.
So, your friend is going to be on.
Yeah, Tom Loftus, the guy who ran a record label that we were on in Minnesota. He's a miniature golf like lunatic. Him and his wife both like travel the country doing competitive miniature golf, and he's going to be on.
What's he going to do after this?
Yeah, exactly. There's nowhere else to go.
Yeah, it really is.
Now he's going to show up to all the clubs, you know, the miniature golf clubs, and it's like, oh, that's a pro. So we're gonna get free soda
like
refills.
Like trivia nights are like the good ones are all Jeopardy contestants.
I tell you, when that guy shows up and gets those free sodas, you better watch out for Mr. Jonah Ray. If he's thirsty, look out. There goes your Dr. Pepper.
You're thirsty for conflict.
Or Mr. Pibb, depending on where in the country he is.
I can say, like, Jonah actually stole something from me at one point as well.
What's that?
When I first, before I even moved out to L.A., I was like still living with my parents for a few months, and I looked at jobs online, and there was a job for head writer of the Rotten Tomatoes show on current TV. And I was like, this will be amazing. I love movies. Where else are they going to find a guy that wants to do comedy writing, but also has a sincere love of movies?
Yes. But I was never the head writer, so I didn't steal.
What were you?
I was just a writer on the show. We weren't even really writers. We were all producers.
It was definitely that job because I was like emailing about it. I was like really shitty about it and just
cursed on the best show. Look at that. Wow.
What are you, the host?
Mark that, Devin.
I'm Matt Walsh.
I'm Matt Walsh.
I was working at Current TV, which was Al Gore's at the time.
Yes.
And I was working on another show there.
Nobody's.
No, it's Nobody's. It doesn't exist.
Yeah.
I was working on a cartoon called Super News.
Yes.
Yeah, and then they were starting that show, and they moved me over there, and I was miserable.
I had friends that worked on Target Women, which was a popular show on
Sarah Haskins.
Current TV at the time. Yes. But I was like so indignant that they had hired this very established at the time.
I just comedian. Literally like moved down the hall to the next job. And then I quit. Like
almost
like,
insulting that they put the job on the internet when you were just already in the building. Yeah.
And then I quit about a month in.
Oh, well, that makes me feel great.
Yeah.
A dream deferred at that point. It was a dream deferred. But you didn't give up, Hayes. Yeah. That's the important.
I'm sorry for taking that opportunity away from you.
Yeah.
Now, Kevin.
There.
Tom,
what's been going on since one of the premium Hollywood Handbook episodes since your standing was unmasked, revealed, when people realize you're just a rich guy? Has that haunted you now?
A little bit. Mm-hmm. A couple of Instagram comments. This adds up.
Because it came out that Kevin's family owns – pretty much they run all the Midwest insurance. It goes through the Bartelt family.
Tom outed me on a paywalled platform.
Yes.
And it messed me up.
But now he has brought it up multiple times outside of the paywall as well.
Yeah.
On our show.
Yeah. But there's got to be a part of you that is finally relieved to just kind of be like, people know.
Everyone knows my true self now. Yeah.
People know I have so much money.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I flex a little more confidently now.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Do people expect you to pick up the check now? What's your friend's name?
Darius.
Darius? Does Darius expect you to like?
Yeah, he goes to the bathroom when the bill comes.
Okay. Yeah. It's going to get to the point where people are just going to go like, you got this, right, Kevin?
Uh-huh.
Kevin's got this. You're going to overhear somebody go, it's like, yeah, we go out with Kevin and he'll always get the check. He's got all that insurance money. And it's going to hurt your feelings.
It's going to.
Kevin's a guy where you say, what's your friend's name? And he answers instantly.
Darius.
I know which one.
When are we going to meet Darius?
I don't know. We should have him on the next pro version we do.
Why don't you have him on would you ever have Darius
absolutely.
On as a guest on
yes. The- are you kidding me? That would be the best episode we ever did.
Darius does not like pod. He does not have a Stitcher premium subscription.
No, he doesn't.
You couldn't swing that for
I sent him a clip.
Okay.
He sent the ha-ha back at me.
Okay.
Was it the text ha-ha?
Yeah,
or,
yeah the text okay. ha-ha.
Yeah.
Pretty funny.
Yeah. So Darius, he just can't be bothered, though. What's he into?
He's also a comedy guy. He just doesn't like comedy podcasts.
Just doesn't like Earwolf.
Yeah.
Well, what's funny to a Darius? What does he like? The Office?
No. I don't know. Hayes, you've
he
met
doesn't
him.
Like The Office?
So, no. He likes Always Sunny.
I met him for
3 seconds,
3 seconds.
4 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you think?
What the kind of shows did I think he liked?
Yeah.
I think he probably does like the, but you know he doesn't like The Office?
I don't think he cares for it.
Because you love it.
Yeah, because I'm obsessed.
You've tried
to
get
my territory.
Yeah, right.
He stays away.
And are you just like, check this one out, though. You'll like this episode.
Yeah. He seems like a Harvey Birdman attorney at law type guy.
American Dad?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
What
but he
was
does
that
work.
Noise?
my stomach hurt a little. He always wears a black t-shirt and black pants, black shoes everywhere he goes. Mm. Every day. It's his only outfit.
Okay. All right.
He runs with the tech crews.
Okay. So now I know who to look for when I see somebody wearing black pants and black shoes.
Uh-huh. In Los Angeles.
But that might be Darius.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, thanks for the heads up on that.
He took photos for our podcast. He did the photo shoot.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Is it going to go on the wall?
Ooh. That's a worthy contender.
Do you
just a vertical iPhone photo that they try to fit into a square.
Now, Kevin, when people say that, when people describe It's Always Sunny as alt-right Seinfeld, is that something you agree with? Is that something, because people say that.
Yes, I do agree with it. I think I have to have a talk with Darius then.
Yes. Is Darius is what kind of comedy is Darius doing? Is he a performer?
Yeah, he's an improv boy.
Uh huh. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna get him on your podcast?
I don't think we're gonna have guests.
You don't want to get him as like a utility player,
ooh,
right?
As like a runner,
or just the idea? Why don't you make Darius the Kevin of your podcast?
Yeah, and then he does one.
Yeah, and then Darius just keeps going down.
Yeah.
You just get him on, you just like humiliate him.
Oh
right?
my gosh. Well, we did kind of critique his photo session.
Okay.
For like 25 minutes on today's episode. He was kind of mean to me.
Darius was mean to you?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it got in my head, and you can see me get more and more mad throughout the photo.
So he was on the show?
No, he took photos, and then Yusong and I talked about the experience.
Oh, okay.
He kept saying, you're squinting, because it was outside.
And you guys have been roommates for how long?
Well, he slept on the couch for a couple months, and then he got his own place, and now I'm moved in with my girlfriend.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And does he hang around a fair amount?
No, it's a little far now for him.
Okay.
The commute's not worth it sometimes.
Sure. Geez. Is there like a middle ground you guys can meet up at?
Yeah.
Well, where would that be? Was there a coffee shop?
Yeah, there's probably a coffee shop we should check out.
Uh-huh. So there isn't actually one. You're just speculating that there would be.
I mean, he's
one.
Like, there must be.
Yeah.
There has to be.
Yeah, I want to get to know Darius a little more.
All right.
He's very interesting.
He's a mystery man.
Yes. So what's your podcast called again?
Yeah, it's Maybe Don't.
That's Maybe Don't.
Yeah. Jonah, what's new?
I've been here a long time.
Yeah?
Why don't you interview Jonah for a minute?
Maybe
he's a host now.
Your Howard Kramer's cousin worked for
the Mystery Science Theater tour. Yeah, Drew.
How was he?
He was great. That was the first thing he said to me. I said, "Hey, I'm Jonah." He said, "Hi, I'm Howard Kramer's nephew."
Nephew, that's right.
Yeah, he was great. He showed me funny internet videos. He's a good meme collector.
I love those guys that are holding up their phone.
Yeah.
Most of for his, you to look at.
He's just, he collects good memes, you know? I don't know. I don't have a lot of friends that are good at finding good memes, but Drew, he's one of them. And my friend Nalu from back in Hawaii. And then they just put him on their Instagram. They don't take pictures of anything they do. They just have
just screenshots, yeah.
Screenshots of memes.
Yeah. Sign their name on it.
Yeah.
We should start doing that.
Natasha from
me and Darius. Sorry, I called them.
No, it's Sklarboro. Do you have a table like this where everybody signs the table?
We don't record there.
Do they have one over there?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think you can write on the table. I don't think people disrespect the space that way.
It's Sklarboro.
Yeah. That's where his show's at now.
Yeah, Sklarboro Country. Mm-hmm. It's their new
network.
But they have a network.
They have a network within
Starburns.
Within Starburns. Within Starburns?
Yeah.
I've watched everybody just like make all these moves, you know? Like I just watch them take like one step up and then another one and I can't even see them anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, all my stuff is lateral. I've never taken
At least you're moving.
It's like Jonah Radio is like Dwight Howard. Kind of going from team to team.
Yeah. Right. And a different team every year.
Yeah.
This time it's going to work.
That's what the next shirt is going to be.
This time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's been on 4 podcast networks.
Wow.
Max Fun.
Uh-huh.
Nerdist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now this one.
And now?
Three.
Oh, three. Okay.
Do you want to start one?
Oh no, I would never want it. That sounds like the biggest nightmare ever to have a podcast network.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to do the business side of the stuff? It's hard enough doing the business side of just the best show. I got to worry about some dumb podcaster complaining about something.
It's a chore enough to do a podcast at all.
To be on the other end of our show, I cannot even imagine.
Yeah.
Financially.
Yeah.
Production wise.
Creatively. Like ad sales.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Any sort of complaint internally, externally.
Hold on. Ad
Instagram
sales? Yes. That sounds great.
People buy ads.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
We had an ad that we had to read today that they by accident said was a make good. I think because they've just gotten used to having to write that on our ads so many times.
Now, for people who don't know, a make good means you did a bad goof. You goofed the first time. And now it's just like you got to do another one just to try to make people happy.
Yeah, because they pay. For free.
It's muscle memory.
For them. It's just like, so this is a make good. So
because that suitcase
please
don't
one, do whatever you did last time. Yeah,
the suitcase one was the true. That was like the low point.
That was definitely the most violent reaction we've ever gotten from an ad person. I've talked about it maybe on this show, but there's a suitcase company that offered us free suitcases. And my partner, Sean, went online to see which kind of suitcase he wanted, and they had a special NBA Black Edition. And they said, you can't have that one. You can choose any of the other colors for your free suitcase, and we'll also pay you for the ad on top of that. And he did the whole ad about not being able to get the NBA Black suitcase, even though it said in bold letters at the top, do not talk about like special edition suitcases. Mm-hmm. And not only did we have to do a make good, they pulled their order for ads.
Took a little break from Hollywood Ham.
Yes, and had us pull that ad out of the episode, which is the only time that's ever happened.
So that's like a collector's item, that ad, if you have a copy.
Some people did. I think it's on YouTube.
It's on SoundCloud. Someone would post it.
Is that yours?
So you got a real popular podcast with Hollywood Handbook. Do you make a living off of it? I know you don't need it, but do you make a living off of?
It's the perfect situation for where everyone loses money. We could be doing better, I would say, on Patreon, not like significantly better, but better. And they are losing exactly that much money on us, I would say.
Oh.
So it's not like staggering sums that everyone is losing, but everyone is at for sure losing.
But are you personally losing money?
No.
You're making money.
Like, only an opportunity cost from doing it somewhere else.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you have 4 other podcasts.
Yeah, I have 4 other podcasts.
You have 4 podcasts?
I have one that is totally pro bono, public service.
Yes.
And one.
And that one's called LA Podcast.
LA Podcast.
LA Podcast.
podcast.
Also, please don't diminish people doing podcasts for no money.
No, I'm not. Believe me. I'm headed that way. So that one.
Wait, hold on. First of all, you said you got four podcasts. You had four TV shows at one point.
Yeah, they're better than podcasts.
Yes, I'm saying, but you sounded so incredulous. It sounded like, how could you have four podcasts at once? You literally had four TV shows at one point.
I've managed to talk myself out
of Mystery Man.
What is it?
Mystery Man
and his robot pals.
Mystery Science Theater.
Yes. 3000.
3000.
Yeah.
Hidden America.
Yes.
What was the other one?
The Meltdown.
Yeah. Yes.
Three podcast networks.
Yes.
Yeah.
It works in threes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. That means I'm done.
Uh-huh. Now, was that called The Meltdown when you found out Kamel was going to be a movie star? Is that what it's named after?
Yeah, we knew.
The Meltdown.
It's like we had planned it from when we started the show. We knew what the arc of the entire relationship of us would be. Mm-hmm. So, like, when people tune in tonight for the season finale, they'll get to see me have a meltdown when Kamel becomes a Marvel superhero.
Did he introduce you to the dog from Stuber? Did you at least get to meet the dog? Because that poster, it's
heavily
Dave
featured.
Bautista, the dog.
Yeah.
No, it's Kamel. Foreground Kamel.
Yeah.
Then the dog. Yeah. Then Bautista leaning in looking mad.
Yeah.
Right? Did you meet Bautista?
I didn't get to meet Bautista.
Or the dog.
You know, I realize, like, just as you describe it, just seems like it's like a canine sequel. Like the movie Canine?
Yeah.
Should be called Canine 11?
Wow, you might want to. Canine 11? It's a different movie.
You know, like the Chris Pratt thing where he was just like kind of a normal looking guy and then like did Guardians and stuff and like got all like shredded and stuff. I did not think that was going to happen with Kumail.
Yeah, I didn't expect it either.
But it has.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's ripped now.
We got dinner like it's like I hadn't seen him. He was working out a bunch and then we went and got dinner and in the middle of dinner he took off his jacket. And I like laughed so hard I spit up food because it didn't make sense. Uh-huh. And all of a sudden your friend's just like in this bodysuit of muscle and I just couldn't. Uh-huh. And he got self-conscious and put his jacket back on.
Yeah. His whole shape is different. And it's not like he was ever like out of shape or anything, which is why it's all the more striking.
Yeah.
I mean, it's big.
Yeah. And he's a movie star now.
Movie star. Legit movie star.
Yeah. Good for him. He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
That's also the, like I told you earlier before the show started, if I recommend people say what episode of Hollywood Handbook should I listen to first to get into it, say the first Kamel episode.
That's, it's behind a paywall, unfortunately. Okay, but we should probably make it free just so people have some
way. I'll find it on YouTube.
Because that's a good one to get into. Would you agree?
I agree.
My dad really likes that one.
Yeah.
My dad loved Kumail. I would hear about Kumail stuff before I even saw it myself. I would just get a text from my dad being like, you should be in a Old Navy commercial too.
Emailing articles.
Yeah. I got to hear about his career so much more that from my dad than I ever did from Kumail. Hey, my dad said you were in a commercial recently. Oh yeah. He sends his love.
So what?
I was going to say I met a lot of Tom Sharpling fans at JFL last week.
What's that now?
I was at Just for Laughs.
Yeah.
Montreal. A lot of people said, I'm a huge fan of the best show.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah.
Did they like our appearances together?
Some of them.
Thanks for you. By all means, nod when you answer a question on the show. That gets the answer across. You shook your head yes. How long have you been doing? You could have been doing this for 1 week, and you should know you don't shake your head to give an answer.
I was warming up to the yes.
I don't know. Did you like Just for Laughs?
It was cool. It was my first time. Have you ever been?
I have not.
Oh, I could see you killing there.
Well, that's insulting. You're making
insulting.
Fun of me.
Insulting? It's a compliment.
No, you're making fun of me now. I know.
You would.
You're being really passive-aggressive.
Strangers came up to me and said, I love Tom Sharpling.
Oh, that's sweet of them to do. Who did you see up there? Who did you see
that made you laugh? The roast battle. I didn't like it. I left. Too mean.
You didn't like the meanness of it?
Yeah.
who was on the roast battle? Let me see if I can guess. Big Jay Oakerson.
He could have been.
So you don't even know who was on it.
Well, I watched the first
finger
round.
In each ear. Yeah.
The Roastmaster General, was he there?
He was.
Jeff wow. Ross?
JR himself. Dressed
like, as one piece to his like full Hitler cosplay every time he does it. So we're just kind of like lulled into submission.
Howie Mandel was there.
Okay. That's exciting. So it was Jeff Ross and Howie Mandel.
Uh-huh.
Anyone else?
The British guy who's really funny, Jimmy Carr. I've never heard of him, but
oh, okay. Yeah, he's very
people
funny.
Loved him.
Mm-hmm.
He's a gigantic. He's like a huge star.
He's a mega star in England.
Yes, he's a mega star.
He hosts like had a, five different shows. It's crazy.
He hosts the drunk five. The yeah, drunk history.
The drunk history. Of,
that's England. One more than you, Jonah.
Two more.
Two more than you.
Try the beer.
Yeah, it says drink fresh.
Gosh. You want a beer?
Sure.
Tell me what this. I'm serious. He loves beer.
I'm
this
such
is yours.
A beer
this
head.
Is this is a Jonah branded.
Yeah.
Beer.
Oh my lord!
I helped him make here. It's.
Here you go.
I think they have it at Gelson's.
I'm not going to drink the beer.
Drink.
It
the
is cold.
I'm going to put it in my bag. I'm
don't.
My
bag. It's your name on it.
Beer. Yeah.
Oh my god! It's delicious.
Thank you.
I'm not kidding.
Try it, Tom.
Right. Wow.
It is good.
Wow.
It's tasty.
Take the beer.
Nom, 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 nom.
That's not how it sounds when you drink something.
Passion.
He wants you to, just to like, as soon as you're excited, you just look down and be gone.
That was the plan. That was the plan for the bit.
Well, I just go like, what's that? Yeah. And I turn around.
It's on a piece of piano
this
wire.
This whole time. This is the reason I brought the beer at all. I was like, you know, it's going to be really fun. It's going to seem like I'm trying to promote the beer. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give it to Tom. He's going to open it up, and then I'm going to grab it away from him.
Yeah.
And then he refuses.
He knows.
No. You got Haze is too fast. Haze saw the con coming from a mile
angles.
Away.
He would never have given it so to you.
Catch me if you can, Biz, over here. He sees the angles.
Yeah. I stole a salad from that movie set. Uh-huh. They were shooting
tell
in San
more.
Pedro.
Tell us more about what you sold. Wow.
to con the con master.
Yeah. So you went to the set of Catch Me If You Can.
I was walking around downtown Pedro. Uh-huh. They were uh-huh. shooting a movie. And
you ordered a salad.
And order anything.
And then you turned around and they set your salad down. And then you started eating the salad. And then you were like, then the guy brought the other salad over. And you're like, oh, mistake could happen to anybody.
Truly, no two people in the same area could ever order a similar item. How dare you?
You said you're in Pedro?
I used to live in San Pedro.
Oh, cool. You and Mike Watt.
Me and Mike Watt, yeah. Corn dogs.
Do you know who Mike Watt is, Kevin?
Name sounds familiar. No.
He's a musician.
Ah.
You ever hear of a band called The Minutemen?
Yes.
Well, he was in The Minutemen.
Have you ever seen a show called Spaced?
No.
Okay. That was Nick Frost's character was also named Mike Watt.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I used to see Mike Watt at the burrito place I went to.
Devin, what's your favorite musical act? Wilco,
read your shirt.
I know, I got it. They might be giant shirt on. You know, Superchunk, Guided by Voices, hover right up the top.
So you're right there, and you got that scene locked down.
Yeah,
you like bands with way too many albums.
Yeah, I do. The Fall. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
That's true.
What's your favorite Superchunk album?
My personal favorite is
Come on the Mouth.
Come Pick Me Up is my favorite.
Oh, going late in the first iteration.
Yeah, the Jim O'Rourke produced one because it didn't get the love, but I love every song on it.
Yes.
It's they're still record. Good, man. What a Time to Be Alive is great.
It's an amazing record.
They're unbelievable.
Yeah.
Foolish.
Tell them who you saw them with, Haze.
Oh, I went to, I honestly did forget, but now
that
I remember.
That was creepy.
I went with Sean and Kevin. It was one of the only times, like how many outings have we done as a group?
That weren't Hollywood Handbook live shows.
Yeah.
That weren't like around, like.
Mini golfing at Sean's birthday.
That was not just us, though.
Right, then I'd say Superchunk.
I think that might have been the only one, because we see each other all the time.
Yeah.
You know?
No, that's
there's not the urgency to be like, what's Kevin up to?
That's a cool thing to do together.
I feel that. That was my first time hearing Superchunk, and I loved it.
Yeah.
Good.
They rule.
I went to one of the Merge anniversary shows.
The Merge 30s?
Merge 30s,
yeah. Which one did you go to?
I went to the last Friday because I was in town for Raleigh GalaxyCon.
Yes.
And then me and my wife caught a car over to Cat's Cradle.
Nice.
And we saw Mike Kroll play.
Heck
Mike
yeah.
Mike Kroll, who I was on Jonah Radio with.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Was Worcester there as well?
Worcester was there too.
Yeah, I got to see him. I ran into him.
We were in town for the box set when that came out.
That's right, the El Rey show.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Tom, you like Sparks?
Do I like Sparks? Yes, I do.
Yeah. There's something I've always wanted to ask.
I do.
Yeah.
Yes.
How does it feel now that you've asked?
Well, I just got really into them this last year.
What's your favorite era for Sparks? What are we talking? You like?
It's hard to say. There's,
you're talking This Town Ain't Big Enough for the both of like that era?
Kimono My House is pretty great.
Sure. Yeah. That's the good stuff.
There. I do like the 80s stuff, though. Angst in My Pants is a...
That's good.
That's real good.
It's great.
I've been listening to that kind of nonstop for the last year.
I'll argue with you. Number one song in heaven. You like that one?
Oh, yeah.
It's a good song.
Good song.
Now, which one is Sparks and which one is Stars?
Stars is a 90s indie band, right?
Yeah, they're like a Broken Social Scene-y offshoot.
No, they're before. I thought they were more like shoegaze kind of stuff.
Sparks are the Mail Brothers, M-A-E-L, and there was Russell, who had the long hair and was super hunky. And then Ron, who had a Hitler mustache and would play keyboards with his...
And they're funny?
No. The song, well, they have
is
a wit.
Stars funny?
They have a wit to them, They're not setting it. They had funny album covers. I think the funny album covers make them seem like they were funnier than they
Which
were.
Which one has an album title that's like... Roll Over Beethoven or something like. What are their like main albums? Chuck like Berry. The early 2000s.
Yeah, you're talking about Sparks.
Sparks.
Little Beethoven.
Little Beethoven. Yes. That's funny. The Rhythm Thief on that is funny.
Rhythm Thief is great.
Yeah. You know that a member of Sparks works in TBS on the kind of business side.
I did not know
it's
that.
It's true.
Very funny.
Yes.
Not one of the Mail Brothers.
Though. Not one of
their
Mail
they're
Brothers.
They're Los Angeles.
Yes.
Yeah.
Edgar Wright's making a documentary about Sparks.
That's sure true. Is. Yes,
he was filming it at the show I saw them at in L.A.
It's
he
a
was
band
on stage
that I
filming it as they were playing.
It's a band that I always like. I hear a song and I like it,
right?
And I go, I should get into this, but because they have such a large catalog, I don't know where to start, and I kind of get overwhelmed.
Greatest hits.
Get the 20th Century Masters. The 20th Century Masters of Sparks.
Give you the best 16 right off the top, and you just focus on those.
And what they call that on Apple Music? Essentials.
Yeah, so you check out the essentials.
Yeah.
For Sparks. You can't go wrong with that. Barbecue-y.
Yeah, B-side.
Yes.
That's a good one.
I Like Girls.
Yeah, what's that one from?
I don't know. What do I
that's
look like?
That's mid-80s.
Ron Mayle?
I don't know.
Or Russell Mayle? Or the guy in business affairs at TBS?
It was a best show listener who actually gave me tickets to see Sparks in LA.
Nice. It's a good community of people, right?
Yeah. She was like, you probably would like this band. I was like, yeah, I know the singles. I went and fell in love.
That's great.
Yeah.
Kevin, who's your favorite musical act of all time?
Queens of the Stone Age.
There you go. The guy, what's his face?
Josh Homme.
Sat next to him on a plane once.
Are you kidding me?
God, I wish I could remember what movie he was watching and laughing so much at.
LaQuisha.
Hacksaw Ridge.
Do you like Caius as well?
Uh-huh.
So you like stoner rock more than you would probably be associated with?
Probably, yeah.
Sure. What other acts do you like?
Arctic Monkeys.
Favorite Arctic Monkeys album? Which one is it?
The
second one.
Yes, correct.
Post MySpace era.
Yes, second one is the best one. Favorite worst nightmare. Mm-hmm. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a great album.
So good.
Video directed by Richard Iwade did an Arctic Monkeys live concert. Very trivia for Arctic Monkeys fans out there.
You have this thing where you like close your eyes, but you can still tell you're looking upwards when you're trying to remember facts of something.
Sure. Well, again, it's not a visual medium. I can do what I want.
I know.
But this is not one of your TV shows where that gets filmed.
Mm-hmm. And I nod before I say
yes. Yes. So with the TV shows, you have
none now.
Yeah. The Mystery Science Theater, did that happen? Is that not coming back?
I don't know. But it's, you know, Joel's about to embark on a 6-month tour of the live show version. And so, I mean, even if we do do another one, it's not going to be for a long time.
Sure. No. Because it's and he is fine. You have a good relationship with him, obviously.
Yes. Yeah. He really wanted me to do that tour, but I just couldn't like touring that consistently for 6 months is more than I think I could handle.
Because you already did a big tour.
We did two of them. Yeah. And it does kind of – it just destroys your mind and your body doing like two shows a night, then meet and greets, and then just – I just couldn't ever figure out how to sleep on a bus.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you remember not me, the meet and greets.
No.
Fuel me.
Like you just get, you kind of get.
Yeah. I'm like, where are we going? Where are we going, guys?
The venue loves
it. Yeah.
I mean, I love them.
Now, when you do comic book conventions or whatever you call them, sci-fi, whatever, what do we
call them? I just call them conventions.
Convention. When you do the cons.
Yeah.
It's you at a table.
Mm-hmm.
And what does the sign say? Meet Jonah Ray, star of Mystery Science Theater 3000?
It says like Mystery Science Theater 3000, Meltdown, and Nerdist.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then people line up and come up and do charge for autographs? Well, you
know, if people came right like at the same time, there would be a line. But it's enough to where it's like – it's just like a person shows up and we like have enough time to talk and, you know, and sign and take pictures and hang out. And then they leave and then another person kind of comes.
What are we talking? $30 for an autograph at these things? How much are we talking?
Yeah, it's like $30.
And look, this is there's overhead at these. I'm not saying you're walking out with $30.
No. It's there's a guarantee.
You got to get a tablecloth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They provide the table.
A pen.
It's a weird, it's a weird scene. I felt weird about doing it when I first started doing it. Cause it's like, you're kind of like making money off of stuff you did, not something you're doing.
Yeah.
But talking to other people that do the cons, they talk about how like that's a scene unto itself. It's like there's the collectors, they like it. They like the idea of meeting the person that they enjoy.
And I like that physicality you just demonstrated when you're doing the people who are at the thing. It was very flattering.
No.
He drooled.
Yeah.
No, it's a chance for people. It's they understand the exchange. They don't have a gun held to them. It's way for them to meet people they want to meet and get things signed.
It's, you know, it's seeing, there's a lot of people that just kind of show up and just say hi, but it's just for me, it's so interesting just seeing that culture. Like, you know, like this last one I was at, it was across the aisle from Rachel Lee Cook. Mm-hmm. And next to the guy that played Colossus, not in Deadpool, but from the X-Men movies.
Ooh. Sure.
And then, you know, some people
what's
from
his
the
face? The guy from the Angus Scrimm, is he at these things?
He's dead.
Phantasm.
He's
the guy
dead.
From Phantasm.
Tall man's
he's
not, dead.
He's okay. He's dead.
Yeah.
Now, who's at them now? Like Billy Barty, is he at these things?
No, Billy Barty's not at them. Mick Foley.
Mick Foley
was there. John Cusack was there.
Wow. Really?
Pauly Shore, David Tennant, Tim Curry was there. I was like the back of my booth was the back of Lil Nell, Nell Campbell's.
Okay.
From Rocky Horror.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Barry Bostwick has been at everyone I've been to. It's kind of crazy. Like when I was at the Florida Con, I was at a table in the green room. Everyone's eating terrible wraps and at a table. And then I'm like, it's like me, and it's like Nick Frost, George Takei, Mick Foley, and then a lady who did the voice for Ariel and The Little Mermaid.
Wow.
And everyone's talking about like trying to figure out what TikTok is.
Should we be on this?
Yeah. Everyone's talking about Cameo. It's like, do we do Cameo? And then I remember someone like, George Takei's like, I just don't know. I mean, we're just, people are paying money to, and I was like, what do you think we're doing here?
George Takei was so ahead of the game on like Facebook and Twitter and stuff.
No. Yeah.
You can't, you know, just lightning that strike twice with those things.
I always look to him for how to feel about a certain issue. I'm just always like, I go to his Instagram or his tweets to just be like, how do I feel about gun control? And then George weighs in and I'm just like, I don't like guns.
Yeah.
Do you think he has a social media manager that's like, is this like sort of close to how you feel about this issue?
George?
I think I know you pretty well at this point.
Is this kind of close? A little closer? Which way? Right?
Left.
Yeah, got it.
Now, who are you most excited to meet at one of these things yourself? You as a fan as well as a celebrity.
I was pretty excited to meet Mick Foley.
Okay.
Just because like, you know, I wasn't really watching wrestling at that time, but when I kind of like a friend of mine, my friend Raph, like, you know, like was into him, and I remember getting a tape and just seeing all the crazy stuff he did and just kind of being enamored with like how sweet he seemed, mm-hmm. but how crazy his stuff was.
So that was he was meeting other people back at this thing. Did you steal Socko? Did you grab the sock? You got a little axe, but you had ordered a sock already. So, and then you reached, and then suddenly they set a sock puppet in front of you, and you're like, "Oh, this is my sock puppet."
Yes, because but we were at the sock puppet section, so it would be totally feasible for multiple people to be ordering.
No,
same
of course,
thing.
It goes without saying.
Try the beer.
No, that's very nice. No, it is. It's got like a grapefruit.
No, it's passion nectar, orange juice, and guava juice.
Okay, it's got that's what it tastes like.
Pod. You could have used your pull at Stone to have them seal an empty can.
Okay. Yeah,
that would have been
yeah.
So you have now what? Jonah Radio was heard where?
By like 10 dudes.
Well, that just fill in, plug your thing. We're wrapping up.
All right. It's on the Scarborough Country Network. It's still going. Don't listen to old episodes. If you're a musician of any sort, we take submissions. If you email us at jonahradio@gmail.com, send like a Bandcamp link. That's the best one we like. We like Bandcamp a lot. But you know, we kind of go through these and we you know play the music from the bands that we like and then also like push their tours and stuff like that. So it's kind of a way to help bands out and something like that.
That's cool. Yeah, always do that.
Why is Bandcamp preferable?
I think they just got a good setup and a easier way for bands to kind of like have their own businesses. The interface is really easy. But it's like you can buy the song directly from the band.
Yeah, you straight up get paid more.
Yes.
The artist does on Bandcamp.
So it's like you can buy a track and so or an album or anything and you can go all through their band page.
AP Mike's listening to this being like, when are they going to?
AP, thing I mentioned. apmike.bandcamp.com. He has his headshots. He has his t-shirts. The calendar is sold out. So,
but we got some great submissions recently, like Bougie Boys from Canada, the Chin Cheese from Minneapolis, and Sore Thumb from the Bay Area. Like a lot of good bands have been submitting.
That's
lately.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And now, what else is coming up for you this year? What does a Jonah Ray have in the pipeline?
I'm putting out an EP on Asian Man Records Weird Al covers kind of that I did.
These are the Weird Al covers, the originals.
Bad time.
No, there's two.
Bad time somebody stuck it to him.
Yeah. I did two covers. Like I did two originals, Dare to Be Stupid and Frank's 2000 Inch TV. And then I did Eat It and Amish Paradise.
Sure.
Yeah.
And that's coming out when?
August 16th on Asian Man Records.
Okay.
Yeah, which
that's
is
cool.
Very exciting. So that's coming out. And then I'm writing a pilot for BBC in England with Ian Morris.
Well, that's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Right on.
Ian's very funny.
Ian Morris is super cool.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
Weird Al came on our show. And we were talking about the song Fat, and he was like, yeah, it was like kind of a parody about being overweight. Was that okay?
I was literally thinking that the other day. Yeah. Like, so I was like, man, I should do like a version of it. I was like, oh, I don't know. I don't think so. It's harsh.
I just stumbled upon an episode of Tough Crowd on YouTube the other day.
Let me see if I can guess who is on it.
Yes, you will definitely get at least one right.
Jim Norton.
Jim Norton was not on it.
Greg Giraldo.
It was not Greg Giraldo.
Nick DiPaolo.
No, so now you get one left.
Patrice O'Neill
was on it. It was him.
Well, I should have said Colin Quinn would have been there.
Oh, sure. Yeah. It was him, Robert Kelly, Dov Davidoff.
Sure.
And Tony Kamen.
Okay, yes.
Oh, Tony Kamen.
Is it Kamen?
Yeah.
Oh, I've worked with them.
From the Marijuana Logs.
From the Marijuana Logs, yes. And boy, they are very racist.
Yeah. Maybe didn't age.
Like, boy, this was
but
like
the whole thing
2005.
Is, yeah. Racist, it was kind of racist.
Yeah.
It's not like racism showed up 2 years ago.
Yeah.
The roast battle started with the MC saying, like, just so you guys know, you can, the comics here will say racist stuff, sexist stuff, homophobic stuff, transphobic stuff. This is a safe space.
Oh, wow. Got him.
It was, well, people were uncomfortable.
Now, Kevin.
Well, you left.
I did. Shortly after.
Kevin, why don't you plug your show?
Sure. It's called Maybe Don't.
And it's on where?
Well, plug it in and make sure it works.
It's on all major podcast platforms.
But it is not a part of Earwolf.
No, it is independent.
Are you looking for this to get in the door somehow?
No, they passed.
So they straight up passed.
They were like, thanks, bud.
Were you shocked?
No.
You felt it coming.
Yeah, I was obligated to pitch it there first because sure. I have to.
For right of first refusal.
That's exactly right.
And
they refusal.
And they did. They refusal. So Maybe Don't. 3 episodes in and people can look forward to more. And how often do they come out?
Every Monday.
Every Monday. So on Monday, your podcast listening schedules, you start with LA Podcast. Mm-hmm. Then you throw on Maybe Don't. Mm-hmm. When do Jonah Radio episodes drop?
Friday. For your weekend.
Which is good because that's the
one day that Sean and I have open.
Yeah. And then on Tuesdays, you start with Hollywood Handbook. Then you end your night with The Best Show. Wednesday, Pro Version, Hollywood Handbook Pro Version. Thursday, the flagrant ones, the basketball, it's not the basket, it's the NBA podcast. It's not a basketball podcast.
It's a NBA only.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes
emails.
Which is called like basketball. Cause when you watch like college sports, right? What would you rather watch, Jonah? A movie made by someone in college or a movie made by like someone who's like a professional who's making a movie has a skill set that's at the highest level, or would you rather watch a movie made by one okay person and another person who will be working at a law firm a year from now?
This is what I'm worried about because I got to go back to Hawaii for the Hawaiian International Film Festival, and I'm judging the Made in Hawaii section.
Sure,
and I'm worried about exactly this.
Well, it's going to be great because they'll take advantage of the thing of the islands and they'll show the thing. It'll be awesome.
They just keep showing the Descendants every year.
Yes, yes. Which is a great portrayal of the Hawaii I know. The real Hawaii, as I call the real Hawaii.
The opening shots of that are pretty spot on. They do show the real Hawaii there.
Kevin, did you ever mention to the Earwolf when they were passing on the show, like, that you that you know how to just do this by yourself here? Like, it costs them nothing for you to just come in and just, like...
I don't know, bandwidth, man.
I brought up a lot.
And it depreciates the mic to just have people breathing into the...
Right? Yeah. The cord, the information going through it. Oh, it's going to get too hot.
They get worn out.
Yeah, the strain. They just can't afford the strain up here on
these
the
golden springs that adjust the mic stands.
So the flagrant ones is coming up on 1 year now of the flagrant.
Oh, wow. Can it be?
Feels like
I guess so.
Cause you started in October of last year, right?
Okay. Yeah. It's still kind of a long way off, but yeah.
But more or less cause the season is going to ramp up.
Yes. Soon. Yes. I think we have a guest.
Okay.
For Thursday's episode.
All right.
I felt compelled to make a promise after last week's episode that we will never do another bad episode. So now we have to live up to that.
So now when you see everybody talking about Zion Williamson, right?
Yeah.
Where do you think he stands on the scale of things?
Well, we're drafting the Secret NBA on the show now, which is like a league that we are responsible for from Adam Silver because he's a fan of Comedy Bang Bang. He likes Carl from Comedy Bang Bang. And so he's having us put together the Secret NBA. We drafted a keeper league and Zion went, I think like top 12 or something like that.
That's wrong.
It's a keeper league, you know?
Well, like, sure.
It was like Giannis and that like and when he went, I think people were kind of like, oh, that's good.
Yeah, I don't know. I need to see it to believe it with yeah. him still.
Yeah.
I feel like people have coronated him before he's kind of done anything.
And that's how I felt about Markelle Fultz, too. Mm-hmm. I was like all about it. I was really mad when the Celtics didn't take him.
Uh-huh. And now you look and he, you wouldn't want him selling shirts at the games.
Yeah. Yeah. So I you know, I like it. I think it's cool that he is huge and like can jump very high. And
what's the worst comparison to him if he does not pan out? Who does he come off like?
Oh, the bottom.
Yeah.
Anthony Bennett was like that same like yeah. tweener type guy. And they're like, he's like a big, but he could shoot, but he yeah. was undersized for his position, but also did not really know how to play basketball in yes. a way that Zion has demonstrated an ability to do.
Now, when he played in that one preseason game and yeah. then had that one play and then flexed after it,
yeah.
was that not troublesome to you that he was already wildly out of shape and still had to flex when he did something against people who will not be in the NBA 4 months from?
Well, I'll tell you a summer league story I heard about DeMarcus Cousins when he was a rookie in 2010.
Yes.
Hit a three or like dunked or something and then looked at Tyreke Evans, who had just won rookie of the year on his own bench
yeah.
and like pounded his chest and said, "This is my team.
This is my summer
yes, league. The summer league team." Yes. And he ended up, having a great career.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's disqualifying. Who's this?
Andrew Antoni.
Oh my God. Together again. Everyone's coming back from tours now.
Okay.
Like how this makes me feel. That I'm the going entire podcasting industry. Kevin's gone every other day.
I got back from tour.
So, yeah, I know that.
Devin.
I got some more dates for you.
So we have Hollywood Handbook. We have Flagrant Ones. LA Podcast. Devin, what do you want to plug? Anything?
Sure. How Did This Get Made was what I was just out on tour with. Doesn't need much of a plug, but there's two new shows
Excuse me.
Well, it doesn't need me to plug it. I mean, people know the show and like it.
It's, you know that terrible thing where when you like a comic or you like a performer yeah. and you have that thing where you're like, it's like you scoff at it once. It's like, they're saying what I'm thinking literally so many times. Uh-huh. It's like when Tom says something, I go, that's exactly the thought that went through my head.
That's funny. It's sweet. The two new shows that I would like to plug are How Did This Get Played, which is the video game show that we just started doing. I do the music and sound design.
Now who's the we on that?
That's Heather Ann Campbell.
Yes, exactly. Heather Ann Campbell and Nick Weiger.
Heather Ann Campbell and me, we text each other a lot, but all we text each other about is Liam Gallagher.
That's great.
That's all we talk about. We have a friendship based entirely on Liam Gallagher.
That's awesome. Heather's great. Those two are really funny together. Yeah, Sean from Hollywood Handbook is on this week as the guest.
Sure. I checked the Reddit thread for the show, and I saw that it was like 150 comments, and I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Something going on.
It's a lot of fun in there. Yeah. A lot of fun in there. But I do all the sound design and music for that show, so it's real fun. And then Voyage to the Stars is a science fiction show that is on Earwolf as well, and I do all the story editing, sound design, and everything for that. And I put a lot of creativity into it. It's a good show.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Guess what episode people stopped posting my podcast on Reddit?
One.
Three.
But this is the third. This came out today, I thought.
Yep. Verdict's
in. Oh, so they didn't.
Verdict's in.
Verdict's in.
You mean on that Earwolf subreddit?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love when Seth Simons has hot article comments. 390. So he's like, yikes. I'm going to be reading all these comments for an hour and a half. So he's like, you scroll through, it's like two comments, four comments, 480 comments. It's like, well, somebody said something bad.
So those are the podcasts. And then when you were on tour with them, yeah, and that was with what the guy who shoots the hot dogs at fans at the yes, Clippers
Paul Scheer,
game.
Yeah.
Paul Scheer
and yes. June and Jason. Yeah.
Sure.
We were on tour for 2 weeks going up the East Coast up to Montreal.
And you played where in New York now? Town Hall?
Beacon Theater.
Beacon Theater.
It was amazing.
That's unbelievable. More than one show?
Two shows in a night.
Oh, my God.
Back to back. The first one sold out. Second one, like, 95. Oh. So pretty close.
Oh, and you have to have seen the movie before going, right?
You don't.
They will not let you in.
Yeah. It's funny. Most of the listeners to the show don't watch the movies, and almost everyone who comes to the live show does watch the movies.
Oh.
It's a strange breakdown that I don't quite understand, but yeah. That is clearly the case.
I got to figure something like that out.
Yeah. Though. Yeah.
It's too late for me. I had my shot.
So they're doing movies and games. Music.
Doesn't work. How did this
Well, guess? I mean, it is something that you could actually experience along with the listener.
Sure.
It's true.
I don't know, man. I missed
just
it.
Just putting on side one of a record and just riffing over it.
And that makes it allowed, actually, I think.
Commentary.
Commentary.
Three sure. Descripting terms.
Yes. Mm-hmm. As James Osborne said, in terms of my life, he summed up my life when he sang the words, I gave my best, but I guess my best wasn't good enough. It's a story of my life. Right there.
I disagree.
What's your favorite Killers song, Devin?
Oh.
Which one is it?
I don't know them that well.
Are we human or are we dance? Did I ask, were we doing a duet?
That was an echo.
Oh, you're terrible. You don't know which one's your favorite?
I don't know the Killers.
What about
well.
The Man? You like that song, The Man?
By Aloe Black?
No, by
The Killers?
By The Killers.
Okay.
Man.
You know that one, right?
Sure.
Sing a little bit. Now you can sing.
Can you give me a first few lyrics?
I know the scar.
I know the scar.
Well, I'm not asking you to repeat what I did.
Jesus.
Man, is this what your show is like?
More or less.
Don't listen? Is that what it's called?
Maybe don't listen. We got to cut one of the words.
Yeah. Maybe don't listen.
We couldn't afford the third word.
Yeah. Well, in all seriousness, I want to thank everybody for coming. I want to thank Jonah Ray for being here and Hayes Davenport for being here. And thank Kevin Bartelt for coming in.
I want to preemptively thank you for coming on to Jonah Radio.
Sure, we'll figure that out. And I want to thank Devin for engineering. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
You made it happen, buddy. He's taking it back. The beer, you're going to seal it back up and bring it back to the store?
He stole it.
Okay, he stole the beer. He stole your own beer. You're Robin Hood? So, yes, thank you to Earwolf for letting us do the show here. And I still feel like the forever dog. I'm still working for them. We're going to get you guys. We're coming. We're coming for you. Right? My guy's a forever dog. It's hungry. It's just like Earwolf used to be. Not hungry anymore. Used to be hungry, but it's not.
It's my stomach.
No, it's... You know what movie this is from, Kevin?
The Killers.
That's not a movie. That's a band. Well, it was a movie.
It's also a movie.
It was a movie.
I was right.
Yeah. You didn't know.
Can I guess?
Yes. Go ahead.
It's either The Shining or Barry Lyndon.
It's Barry Lyndon.
Yes.
Nice. Can I guess?
No. Can you guess who this is, Kevin? Who sang this?
It's a timpani.
Wait, no.
We've got a really great show for you tonight. Toots and the Maytals are here.
Who's that?
Toots and the Maytals?
No, who's saying that?
Alec Baldwin?
Great show for you tonight. Toots and the Maytals are here.
It's the President of the United States. When he hosted that variety show.
Aren't the first two notes of that song the same as Love by Lana Del Rey?
Kind of, yes. But this is a classical music.
I understand that they're two different songs.
Yes.
It's close, but the songs are different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jack in Lakewood. What's up, Jack?
Yeah, regarding the situation with Bombcraft, have you ever engaged in anything like that yourself?
First of all, you're a moron. That's not what you asked the call about.
Okay, number one. All right. Number two, I have not. But you know what? You're just a jerk for even calling up the show and wasting our time with that. Brian in Staten Island, what's up, Brian?
It's one of my favorite places in the world. But when I was a little boy, any mention of California struck terror in my heart. My mother used to dose me up with California syrup of figs. And then I would have to spend a very unpleasant day dashing up down the three flights of stairs from our flat to the toilet in the backyard. Witnessing the massacre of the poor bull from our prestige seats was too much for Lynn, who passed out as the blood spurted in front of our eyes. Carrying her out of the arena was almost too much for me and proved to be a more compelling spectacle than the fight itself for the thousands gathered in the bull ring. When I finally struggled to the top of the long flight of steps leading to the exit, with Lynn's considerable dead weight in my arms, tiny Rita trailing behind with all our belongings, a great cry of ole rang out from the onlookers. What they didn't know was that the diarrhea that I thought I had well under control was not equal to the strain of my colored vision. Thank God for dark brown trousers. Lynn Redgrave. There were many highlights of that night, but I'll never forget rapping with iced tea. I actually surprised myself. I wasn't bad. Success or failure, we all need our own personal survival kit to see us through. For me, it's feeding the ducks with my three grandchildren, making chill-out music compilations. I own hundreds of chill-out CDs, and I've even made one of my own. Caned. The London restaurant scene, gardening, cooking. Chronic diarrhea, and for me, a mild but frightening typhoid attack from breathing in filthy dust and dried camel dung were unpleasant enough, but neither Sean nor I were ever in any real physical danger. We were staying in a beautiful hotel, Amar Villas, which boasts that you can see the Taj Mahal from every room, and I can vouch for this. Although I would have preferred not to. I had obviously eaten something that disagreed with me. Not, I hastened to add, from the hotel restaurant, and found myself confined to the toilet one afternoon. And yes, you could even see the Taj Mahal from there. Richard Gere, on the other hand, is a much more intense actor, although some of the intensity of his concentration during the making of the film may have been down to his appalling dysentery he suffered on location in Mexico. I wasn't surprised when I walked past a cafe at which he and his girlfriend had eaten. I hadn't seen a plague of rats like that since Korea. However careful you were, it was impossible to escape the boat, and eventually the entire cast and crew all fell ill, all except me. I had devised the perfect preventative before every meal. I downed a straight vodka and followed it up with wine and finally a brandy. This was in my younger days, you understand. I figured that no germ could survive an onslaught like that. The problem was that it nearly finished me off too. The final blow came when we were shooting in the Len Film studio itself. I wanted to go for a pee, and they directed me to the toilet. I could smell it 50 yards away, and when I got there, I found the filthiest toilet I've ever seen in my life. I went outside and peed up against the soundstage wall, which I noticed several other men had done before me. So this is where my career had ended, I thought to myself.
I'm like Ricky Gervais. I'm just going to let it out. I love his laugh. Do you hate his laugh too?
Eyes on the prize. That is hilarious.
It's the laugh, man.
What about it?
It's just the worst.
No, it's not. You love it.
I don't.
I'm like Ricky Gervais. I'm just going to let it out. I love his laugh. Do you hate his laugh, too?
It's the laugh, man.
What about it?
It's just the worst.
No, it's not. You love it.
I don't.
Ha ha ha!